about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You probably know that this year, 2012, is a leap year. And that means that this year we get an extra day on February 29th. So instead of having 365 days this year, there will be 366. Great. An extra day. Who really cares? So why do we go to all the trouble to have a leap year?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The rules for deciding a leap year goes like this. A leap year must be divisible by 4, but not if it's divisible by 100. Unless it's divisible by 400.
Can you please stop doing this stuff?
And now.
Leap year, 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 leap year.
This song should be arrested for the crime of sucking.
Our feature presentation.
I gotta tell you, I'm not all that excited about leap day. Leap year.
You don't have to be.
All right. Okay.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
It's hump day.
Well, that is exciting, even if leap year isn't. Hump day's exciting.
How are you feeling?
I sound better, right?
Sound better, yeah.
You do sound better. Are you not sick, but you're not well?
Exactly. Okay. That's exactly right.
Middle ground?
Middle ground. Wow. I don't feel bad.
I'm glad.
Are you filing it?
You never felt complete.
No, I never felt too bad.
It was just all in your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a lesser woman would have capitalized on that and called in to producer Dave and said, I'm so sick. I can't work. But here you were.
He's a weenie. He tried to send me home on Monday.
Yeah. Well, it was nice of him. But yeah, he is a weenie.
Of him.
He is. There's no question.
I love you, Lisa, but you sound terrible.
Right. Not my fault.
I think it was because so many listeners were complaining how awful you sounded.
That's true. They were. It hurt their ears. And I sounded like Danny Bonaduce, and nobody wants to sound like that.
Nobody wants that. Yeah. Exactly. Here's a great story to make you feel good about whatever's going on in your life today, sick or not. A New York couple are awaiting an explanation after a plane flying overhead. Can you see where this is going?
Yes.
Dumps.
Yeah, it sure did.
Blue ice?
It's toilet waste on them is how this article describes it.
Blue ice would be better.
Now, how does it work? Is it like with a trailer camper or something like that where when the plane is on the ground, they bring a tube up to it and suck everything out and clean all the toilets out? They don't generally release, just open it up in air. They couldn't do that.
I don't think so. I think they do it on ground.
It makes more sense what you're saying, but I always just figured because you hear these stories all the time. It's not like this is the first time we've ever heard of it.
No, that's true.
So but I mean, they'd have to have some sort of an airlock like they do in space in order to open anything on an airplane to the outside air. They'd have to have it, would have to dump down below, and then it would have to seal up above, and then they'd have to dump down again.
I don't know the answer.
Well, this is Artie Hughes, who lives near JFK International Airport in New York. He's in his backyard with his wife Thursday night when they were hit with what they're now calling the treated effluent. That's the nice way to say airline poop. Treated effluent. A plane was coming over. The next thing you know, she says, oh, my God, it's raining. And I said, no, it's not.
Oh, man. Don't you wish for rain at that moment?
Yeah.
Some black liquid came off of her face.
Yes.
And I walked around and I looked and I said, oh, my God, there were drops all over the deck, the barbecue, the table. It was oily in substance, a blackish, greenish oil. Mm. Which I guess is the wonderful combination of that blue water in the airplane toilet and then poop. Mr. Hughes thought, I'm sure hoped, it was hydraulic fluid, but they called the police and he was told by the police officers that it was actually treated effluent from a plane.
I wouldn't have known who to call.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah. I don't know that I would call the police either. This doesn't seem like a police matter.
And why would they know what it is?
I might call the airport or the airline. Well, I guess you wouldn't know which airline.
We call the airline, but even if you knew the airline, what would they be able to say?
The FAA? Well, the officer apparently contacted aviation authorities, got back to Mr. Hughes and said, yes, some laboratory excrement had leaked out. Mr. Hughes is still waiting for an explanation. I think they should investigate to find out what happened. Was a button pushed? Was the laboratory filled to capacity before it left the ground? What happened? So that's you don't want that.
That really is not how to start your day.
Yeah. And I don't know.
Just sitting out in your backyard.
But it's awesome that it happened to somebody else. I love that so much. Because I want it to happen, just not to me.
Well, maybe somebody listening can email us and let us know how they do it, if they do it on the ground or if they do it in the air, and they just expect that it will all dissipate, break up somehow before it gets to the ground. You know, if I can see a substance like that, if you let it loose at 30,000 feet, maybe there's nothing left by the time it gets to the ground, and maybe that's how they do it normally.
But maybe it also comes together into a giant meteor of poo.
Maybe so.
You know, that's not good.
Did you see meteor poo over the weekend?
They're awesome.
They're good, yeah, band, right?
Very good.
So, all right.
Good times.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You don't know, man.
Is that Donald Trump?
We'll see.
That's fantastic. Stacey Peralta will be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's got a new movie about the Warped Tour. So we're very excited about that.
Did you watch some of that movie yesterday?
No Room for Rock Stars. No, I did not have time. Did you?
I did, assuming that you would not have time. Being on the Warped Tour looks like the worst thing in the world if you're a band. And I know that the goal is to get out in front of people, but man, is it miserable. Man, is it
just
2 months.
Just because of the logistics and all that?
2 months in a smelly van with your bandmates crisscrossing the country and in 110-degree weather in some cases with no food and no money. It just looks miserable.
They're living the dream, man.
If your band can survive that, then good luck.
You're living the dream.
I guess.
I didn't know the Leap Day is the day that women propose to guys. I had no idea that was the deal.
It is an Irish tradition that goes back apparently many hundreds of years.
But if a girl is going to propose to a guy, she has to do it on a Leap Day, which is once every 4 years.
Five?
Mm-hmm.
Four?
Roughly
four?
Every 4 years, yeah.
So that's today. Mm-hmm. So guys hide.
Yes.
Because
it's so painful to have to say no.
Yeah. Adam Sessler will be here from G4.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be telling us about PlayStation Vita and a bunch of new video games. So cool. We're very excited about that.
PlayStation Vita is not a real thing, is it?
Yeah, I believe it is, yeah.
People are excited about it.
I think it's the one where you take your PlayStation 3, you're playing your game, and you have to leave so you can transfer it to your handheld, keep playing the same game while you walk out to your car, get in, and drive away.
Wow, it's like ignoring real life.
Yes.
Great.
Exactly. So we'll talk to him about that. Plus, we have comedian Jay Moore.
How about that?
Woo-hoo.
On the program today. And your tickets for April Foolishness, speaking of Jay Moore. So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Showbiz Beat is next.
Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is John Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry.
Give him the breathalyzer!
All right. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Kevin and Bean Show 551.
That, kids, is how you win a Marconi Award. Right there. That's how it's done. Yeah.
They give Kevin a check every week.
They invite him
to do that.
They do. I know. It's ridiculous.
He makes a living.
and they don't say, here's money, thanks for your time, I'm sorry it didn't work out.
No!
They actually say, see you Monday.
All right, thanks. Come back. We'll see you next week. We'll give you some more money for doing that. Happens!
Does happen. Sorry.
Wow. I'm just now getting my head around that as well, Ralph. Now that you put it that way.
Wow.
It would be like you every single time you go to the vet, your pet dies. Yeah,
right.
You still keep taking your pet back to that vet.
It'd be like an NFL quarterback throwing an interception every other pass.
Yeah.
One pass for 10 yards, next pass just picked six the other way. Great. We'll see you next season. Now, this year, I think we're going to get to the Super Bowl.
Thanks for giving me every other pass at least.
Other pass, yeah. Yeah.
Now, let's do showbiz. How about that?
It's here. It's time for the showbiz beat on a, I guess it's now a Wednesday.
It is now a Wednesday. Just turned Wednesday. And before I get to the showbiz news, I have tickets to give away for the event that I like to call the most wonderful time of the year, Paley Fest 2012.
Yay!
Brought to you by the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio. Every March, they put together an amazing list of TV shows to pay tribute to. They bring in the casts and creators of those shows. You get to see them in a very intimate venue called the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills, California. And this year as well, to Tom Bien, they are going to be live streaming all of the evenings.
Really?
Well, that's great. So if you weren't lucky enough to get tickets to be there in person and to ask your questions and to hear the anecdotes from the creators and cast of the shows, you'll be able to watch the event live, even on your phone.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
If you want to find out more information about that, you can go to paleycenter.org and they'll give you all the details, and you got to download something and whatnot. But it's well worth it because these are really cool, especially if you're a TV geek like I am. Tickets I have right now to give away are two pairs of tickets for an evening with Sons of Anarchy.
It's a good show.
Boy, is that a good show. If you'd like to attend, it's happening on March the 7th. I've got two pairs of tickets to some Sons of Anarchy fans. Pretty simple trivia question if you do watch the show on a regular basis. Just need to know the name of the fictional town, the fictional Northern California town that Sons of Anarchy takes place in. Just call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two people get through with the right answer are going to get a pair of passes to spend an evening with the cast and creators of Sons of Anarchy. Congratulations to Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck. They've welcomed their third child into the world yesterday. People Magazine's reporting the baby was born in Santa Monica. It's a boy. So that means the family now has two girls and a boy. The two older sisters are Violet and Serafina, ages 3 and 6. Jennifer and Ben aren't revealing the child's name just yet.
This is Santa Monica!
Maybe it's Santa Monica. Isn't that a great name for a boy? But they did mention a few weeks ago.
First name would be Santa.
That's right.
He'd be pretty cool.
He'd be busy at Christmas. The girls had suggestions for his name. They asked their daughters what they would like to name him. Jennifer said, sadly, most of them are Disney-themed.
Yeah, sure.
They suggested Donald Duck.
Good.
And or Mickey or Minnie Mouse Affleck. And then they moved on, she said, to Peter Pan Affleck, Captain Hook Affleck, and Smee Affleck. So I hope they go with Smee.
I do, too.
That'd be great. Smee Affleck. Whitney Houston's family is asking law enforcement to look into the death scene photos that were leaked to the media after the star was found dead in the Beverly Hilton Hotel. Now, I didn't follow this story very closely because it happened while I was out of the country. But I didn't know that there were crime scene photos that were leaked. I know National Enquirer had that photo of her in her coffin from the funeral parlor, but I didn't realize there were pictures from the hotel, apparently, that were leaked as well.
Who's calling it a crime scene, Ralph?
A death scene, I'm sorry.
Okay.
RadarOnline.com says Whitney's mother, Sissy Houston, is leading the effort to find out who took the pictures. Beverly Hills Police apparently told the family they will look into the case of the leaked photos only after the death case is officially closed. So, one deal at a time.
You missed it, but it was a little bit awkward. TMZ.com had put up a photo of the bathtub with the water still in it where Whitney died.
Yeah.
And you could see, you know, a little towel that was on the top of her head was in the water and some hair clips and stuff like that. And then she had a gravy bucket in the tub with her, which apparently they said she used to put olive oil in. She would call down to the hotel and get olive oil sent up that she would then put on her skin when she got out of the tub to keep it all smooth. But that was all in the photo.
You actually saw the gravy bucket?
It was a gravy boat.
It wasn't a gravy bucket.
Yeah. It wasn't a bucket.
When Bean sits down to eat, it's a gravy bucket.
That's right.
He's got himself some biscuits and just a bucket of gravy.
So just like we're asking who took the photo of the body, I mean, was this hotel personnel? Was this the people came to retrieve the body? The people cleaned up? We don't know who took those photos and who leaked them to the press, but yeah, there's been nothing but breaches since this story broke.
We have no interest in seeing those. We just, I can picture it.
Not even interesting, really.
I can picture that. I don't need that.
Extremely tacky. Clive Davis, long thought of as Whitney's mentor. Rumor has it he is preparing to announce that he's going to produce a movie about Whitney's life. He's already getting that put together, according to the London Daily Mail. Short list of performers talking to Clive about perhaps playing Whitney. Rihanna.
Sweet.
Jennifer Hudson.
Sure.
Vivica Fox, Jordan Sparks, and perhaps even Brandy Norwood, who was Whitney's co-star in Cinderella, is also a possibility. So, and while we're talking about musical comedies and musical films, Ryan Murphy, the man who created Glee, has a new musical comedy movie in the works called One Hit Wonders. Variety says the film will be about singers who had hits nearly 20 years ago, but nothing recently, so they team up in order to try to get back into the limelight of the music industry. The cast, so far, Cameron Diaz.
Don't like it.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Reese Witherspoon.
Wow!
Beyonce. And Andy Samberg. Sorry, Andy.
I like him.
Sorry, Andy. There's no way you can...
He doesn't trump them?
Can't get me into the theater with all that going against me. So we're going to have to work that out. Did we have a winner to my trivia question?
We do. We have Jesse. Hi, Jesse.
Jesse.
Hello? Yes, sir.
Jesse. What's the name of the fictional Northern California town where Sons of Anarchy takes place?
Charming.
Charming, California. Yay! Correct.
That's dumb.
Congratulations. Hold on. We'll give you all the details. We're going to spend the evening with the cast and the creators of Sons of Anarchy.
All right.
Congratulations also to Justin, who got the answer, right? I think that was Matthew McConaughey who won those tickets.
Sounded a little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
A lot cooler if you did.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Dennis Farina is 68 years old today. Did you ever see Midnight Run?
Yes.
He plays the mobster in Midnight Run. Oh, very, very funny role. Motivational speaker Tony Robbins is 52 years old today. I wonder if he could just will himself to be younger. If he could just put himself in the right mindset.
He could. He wouldn't be 52.
32 all over again.
Is he the only person you've ever seen who has a bigger head than Kevin?
How dare you?
He's got a pretty giant melon, yeah.
Giant head.
And it's like a shaped like a shoebox, too. It's not even like head-shaped. It's odd. He's not from this world. Antonio Sabato Jr. is 40 years old today. And Mark Foster of Foster the People celebrates his 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
At the end of tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show, 10 o'clock, Thursday morning, K-Rock Street Team members are going to be able to buy tickets for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2012, which means that probably when we come in on Friday, the thing's probably going to be sold out, right?
Correct. Yeah. Most likely.
There are a lot of Street Team members, and you can still be one free. Just go to krock.com and sign up. You'll need that password in order to buy the tickets. And why wouldn't you want to with this unbelievable lineup? Brad Williams is going to be there, Tim Minchin, Eddie Ift, Jim Jeffries, Felipe Esparza, Bob Saget, the real Larry King, Jay Moore, Eddie Izzard, the April Foolishness House Band, our friends Cleto and the Cletones from the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show, all on one stage, one night, Gibson Amphitheater. That's going to be on Saturday, April the 7th. And tickets are going on sale again for Street Team members tomorrow at 10 a.m. Do not miss this. It really is one of the most fun events that we're part of all year long.
And we're barely part of it.
Miss Double December is going to be there, too.
If that helps, we're barely part of it.
Yeah, we don't put our stink on it, really.
No, we just funnier people go up and be funnier.
Yeah, we just stand over there and let them do their thing.
Right.
So, anyway, very excited about that. You see the Donald Trump video yesterday?
I did not know. Is he talking about the Oscars?
He's talking about everything. And I don't understand what's going on because it's not like he was a guest on The View and they asked him. He went into his office, set up a video camera or had somebody tape it, started talking about stuff that was on his mind.
People need to know what he's thinking, Bean.
Is this Donald Trump going, hey, wait a minute, people were talking about something else other than me. I need to weigh in.
Probably, yeah.
And he's still fascinating enough to enough people that they put the videos out and people talk about him. But, I mean, who cares what Donald Trump thinks about Sacha Baron Cohen? Who cares?
Depends on what he thinks. If he hates it, I'm in.
Let's see what he thinks. He's talking about that red carpet incident with Ryan Seacrest in the ashes on the red carpet the other night.
This third-rate character named Sacha Baron Cohen thought he was being cute and funny.
I love that he's a third-rate character. Sacha Baron Cohen, one of the most brilliant comedians ever.
Right.
Hundreds of millions of dollars at box office.
Right.
Third-rate character.
When he threw ashes at Ryan Seacrest. Now, I know Ryan Seacrest. He's a great guy.
Uh-huh.
And you could see he was visibly upset.
Excellent.
It was disgraceful. And the security guard that was standing to the right, he ought to be fired immediately. That guy had nothing. He is not capable. He allowed this guy to get away with so much. Believe me, if that ever happened to somebody with real security, Sacha Baron Cohen would not be in good shape right now. He'd be in a hospital.
What is going on where Donald Trump is this upset about how somebody else's security handles something?
Angry about a comedy bit on the red carpet of the Oscars.
Of an awards show, exactly. So we asked producer Dave to hook us up with Mr. Trump. We got a pretty good relationship with him after all these years. And the Donald joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Mr. Trump.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good. Why so angry?
Because Ryan Seacrest is a friend of mine.
Right.
He is a fragile little flower of a woman.
That's true.
And he needs to be protected. And if someone is going to step up and say the right thing and do the right thing, then it's up to me to have to protect him.
Okay,
but who Sacha was asked?
Sacha Baron Cohen should be beaten within an inch of his life.
There should be
knitting needles plunged into his eyes.
That seems rough.
He should be set on fire. His family should be hunted down.
You understand this is just a
and
red
they
carpet?
They should be hit with a flamethrower.
At the Oscars. It's not
it
really
just everyone he's
bit.
Ever known should be murdered.
That's a little over the top,
and I believe they should have their throats stuffed with some sort of medicated cotton.
Wow.
What?
That will cause a severe dryness and give them a cough and tickle in the back of their throats and be enormously uncomfortable.
Wow.
Well, now you've gone too far. Listen, it was a comedy bit, at the Oscars. Nobody got hurt. It was just, it was pancake batter is all it was.
That was the problem. Nobody got hurt. The security did not do their job. He should have been punched in the face so repeatedly that his face would have turned into just a bloody pink mist that would have oozed out of the red carpet, and his face would have looked like a red carpet, like people have been trampling on it all day. If my security had been there,
right,
we would have taken him, we would have pulled out every one of his pubic hairs one by one.
Ouch.
And then knitted him a sweater, put him in the sweater, made of his own pubic hairs, and then set that sweater on fire.
Wow, that's a lot.
Listen, are you unfamiliar with Sacha Baron Cohen? Did you not see Borat and Bruno
know
and Ali G?
Sacha Baron Cohen. I know Cohen. Him, and I know he's a third-rate character, and that Ashes was disgusting. And I think that everyone involved should be ashamed of themselves, and I believe that he should be strapped to a rocket and shot into space.
Again, that doesn't seem like it's a little extreme for this.
No, not extreme enough, in my opinion.
Right.
Okay. And Ryan Seacrest, that poor little girl, should have taken his manicured nails and just scratched and clawed at his face.
Right.
Okay, that's what's funny that you bring that up, because here's a little bit more of the tape that you posted on the internet yesterday.
He would have been punched in the face so many times, he wouldn't have known what happened. I only wish that Ryan took a swing at him, and I only wish that the security guard that allowed it all to happen, number one, gets fired.
Now, what are the chances that Ryan could take a swing at anyone, Mr. Trump?
He could have taken his purse, and he could have swung it at him.
Yeah, I guess.
And I'm sure it's probably heavy, full of cosmetics and tanner
right.
and hair products. And if he had just connected once with that purse, I'm sure it would have hit him right in the head and done some serious damage, which should have been done to 14th-rate character Sacha Baron Cohen.
Now he's down to 14th. All right, so first the security guard should have been fired, and then...
And number two, go to school. Learn about being security. You don't know, man.
So you don't know, man, is my favorite.
Whoa!
You fire him, and then, even though he's already fired, then he should go to school to learn how to be a security guard. What, so he can reapply for his job? What's the thinking there, Donald?
I would fire him, then send him to security guard school. There's some excellent security guard schools out there in the country. Secure You being one of them.
Right.
And then have him come back, reapply for the job, which then I would hire him, only then to be able to turn around and fire him again and tell him he doesn't know, man.
Are you standing by you don't know, man? I mean, are you standing by that now that you had some time to think about it?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
So it sounds like you're the only guy who really had the stones to handle this situation properly. And once again, the rest of the world is not as good as Donald Trump.
If I had been there, I would have put him in a judo hold. Or giving him a karate chop, or I would have taken him out with my kung fu grip.
I don't see you doing any of those things.
I am a third degree black belt martial artist in the rarely used Asian martial art of Jenga.
Of Jenga?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Jenga is just a board game that you play with.
Well, that shows your ignorance, and you should go to martial arts school.
Okay, all right.
You don't know, man.
All right, Master Trump. I will do that. Thank you for your time.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Really?
Well, what?
You should be punched in the face repeatedly.
No, come
so
on.
Now.
Everybody can't be punched in the face, for God's sakes.
You should be set on fire.
Oh, come on.
I mentioned April Fool's just a few minutes ago. Tickets going on sale tomorrow. Our friend Jay Moore, who's playing the show for us this year on April 7th, is going to be on the show later on today. Also, Adam Sessler from G4 will be joining us. And by the way, Kevin, I don't know if you peeked ahead toward next week on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I've not.
William Shatner coming in.
Oh.
NASCAR legend Jeff Gordon is going to be here.
All right.
One of the richest people in the world. Lana Del Rey is going to be here performing live on our show next week.
Oh, my gosh.
I love her so much.
Oh, pretty cool.
That's not good, though. That isn't good. Anytime Bean says I love her so much, that's not good.
That's ridiculous.
Doesn't go well.
I'm just saying, a lot of great guests coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show, so you should be able to stick around and wade through us just to get to them.
All right. Let's talk about Leap Day, which it is today.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's an extra day in the year. Only happens once every roughly 4 years. And apparently, described to me exactly how this got started, the whole thing with women asking men to marry them.
I don't have any idea. I don't have any idea. My understanding is that Leap Day is odd. It's weird. So there are people who have incorporated into that special things that only happen on that day because it's kind of an oddball extra day. And the tradition goes back to Ireland a long, long time. And it is that women can propose to their men, and the men are not allowed to say no.
What? Wait a minute. I didn't know about that part.
Yes, man, not allowed to say no. Right.
No. Whoa.
Sounded like you were joking earlier when you said men hide, but I think that's what you're supposed to do today.
I was joking.
If you don't want to be proposed to.
You can't say no.
But they even made a movie about it that was not a very good movie. Lisa, it's a romantic comedy, though, so you probably saw it, right?
I did see it.
Lisa, of course you did. But it had Amy Adams in it, who's awesome, right?
She's adorable.
Adam Scott in it, who, of course, we love from Parks and Rec and Party Down and everything like that. And that is the plot of the movie, is that she is going to go and she's going to find her man. He's traveling in Ireland or something like that. She's going to find her man and she's going to propose. So listen up.
It is leap year, you know. In Ireland, a woman can propose to a man on the 29th of February.
Dad, I'm not going to Dublin.
I'm going to propose to my boyfriend on leap day.
Yeah.
So I thought, woo.
Woo. That's the stupidest thing I've ever had.
Yeah, stupidest thing he's ever heard.
And then she meets a really hot Irishman and everything goes awry.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she ends up not proposing to her boyfriend ever.
Because he's a tool.
Yeah. So is that a thing that people do? Is February 29th? I mean, it's been a long time since the last one. So is that refresh my memory. Is that something that is going to happen today?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really heard. I mean, I know about Sadie Hawkins dances.
I haven't heard about
the same kind of thing.
Much either. But I would imagine this happens a certain amount anyway.
Yeah, without it being this day.
I mean, it seems like it's okay, you know, in the last 5 years for girls to ask guys to marry him anytime they want.
Yeah.
Do you know anyone that's happened to?
Do I know anyone that's happened? No, I don't think I do.
Because I don't either. I've never heard of it happening to anybody. I mean, that is, it's so traditional for the, you know, the fairy tale proposal for the man to propose to the woman.
Yeah, that's old
and
school,
maybe it's old school. Wouldn't you say that 99% of proposals, 99+% of proposals happen that way?
Probably.
That doesn't make it old school if it's happening that way today.
I've never known
of it happening from a woman to a man, and I don't know that a lot of men would appreciate that or would say yes to a situation like that.
Meaning if they wanted to get married, they would have already asked?
Exactly, yeah. I mean,
some of you all are just so bad at planning.
And that's true. And that's exactly my point, Lisa. And by the way, I'd love to hear from our listeners if you have been involved in a situation like this where you're a woman who has proposed to a man or you're a man whose woman has proposed to you and find out whether that worked for you, whether that was acceptable. It's because of what you just said, Lisa, about men being bad planners, that I would feel like, how lame am I that she has to propose to me because apparently I was missing all the clues and I didn't propose to her?
Well, you would probably go, yeah, that's me, because by then you know yourself right. enough to know. I mean, I have a friend who never would have been married unless his wife had proposed to him. It never would have happened. He'd never be married in his whole life.
Ever,
because
really.
He just, like, I don't know, he's kind of dense that way.
Yeah. No, he's not.
No, he really is.
No, he's really not.
He's actually smarter than the rest of us.
You just push him a direction and off he goes.
Right, but he did not want to go down the marriage route. He was forced down that way.
Yeah, he was familiar enough with marriage to know that he could have asked somebody to marry him if he wanted to, but he was smart enough not to.
He's just busy, you know.
Yeah, sure, just busy. I think that's true for a year, but his whole life? No, sorry. He's really avoiding it.
I just wonder, I mean, how would you have felt about it, Kevin? Would it have bothered you or would it have been acceptable to you?
Bothered me. I don't know. It all depends on who does it and what the situation is. But if you're ready, if you like, you love that person, you're ready to get married, mm-hmm. I wouldn't care.
But when you kind of feel like, and maybe I'm generalizing here, but I think most women have an idea of how they want a proposal to happen or they're excited about it or they're looking forward to that day in their life when it comes. Wouldn't you feel like you've kind of gypped your lady out of that? By not being the person who would propose to her?
No, if she asks, then you're out of it. Like, you don't have to make it great so that she can tell all her friends, you know?
That's a good point.
So I think I would feel really, really relieved at the fact that I don't have to come up with something fantastic.
Well, I don't know how common this is, and I don't know whether anyone is going to do it for Leap Day. Maybe we have people listening who are thinking about it, who have planned, you know, maybe today's the day that they were going to do it. They're ladies, and they're thinking, hey, now's my chance. But I'd love to know if anyone who's listening has done it, if anyone has been proposed to, the woman proposed to the man, and if that worked out, if you thought it was okay and you said yes to something like that, or the woman proposed to the man and you're the man and you go, no, that's not how I want to do it. I'd love to hear that side of the story as well.
No, you're not allowed to say no, right?
On this day?
According to the legend, yes. According
to Irish legend, yeah, you don't have an option on this day. So hide, people. 1-800-520-1067 is the number you call. We'll talk to you next.
Adam Sessler from G4. He is the editor-in-chief of X-Play. Joins us next hour here on the Kevin Devine Show, talking about PlayStation Vita and a bunch of other new video games coming out right now. Right now. That's a lot of right now.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
We're talking about men that are really just half a man. They're not actual men. They're just half a man.
Why does this bug you so much, Bean?
Yeah, it really does.
It doesn't bug
me. Seems to.
It bugs me a little bit. I'm just, I guess I'm surprised. I would be surprised that very many guys would consider it a compliment to be proposed to. Just because the opposite, men proposing to women, is so ingrained in almost every relationship.
That's like I said, the man's job, you mean?
And like I said before, I would feel like I was letting my lady down. I would be depriving her of her I got proposed to moment by being so lame that she ends up having to propose to me.
I don't think that moment is that big a deal to some women, especially if it's like a second marriage.
That is true.
Right. Maybe so.
So then they don't need that.
Yeah.
And they just want to kind of move things along, and they realize that you're a dum-dum. So they just go, oh, we can't do it. So then
let's find out. When we talk to Pearl, for instance, on line 7 to get us going, we are taking your calls. If you've had this experience at 1-800-520-1067, I believe we're about to find out that Pearl wears the pants in her family. All That's right. what I think.
Hey, Pearl.
Good morning.
Hi, Pearl.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How you doing? I'm Pearl.
So, Pearl, you asked your man to marry you.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
How come?
After how long had you been dating?
We just finished our 3-year anniversary.
3rd year, okay.
And I proposed.
Had you been talking about marriage?
On and off.
Okay.
You know, we've been saving, you know, but nothing serious just yet.
Okay.
Okay, so why did you decide to pull the trigger? Were you, as the guys were suggesting, were you feeling like it wasn't going to happen unless you asked?
Well, I guess our situation was a smidge different. My mom, our doctor informed us that she's really ill, and they didn't know how much longer she had, and it was her, you know, kind of her dying wish to have one of her children married.
Wow.
My eldest brother declined, so I kind of felt that I had to step up to the plate. So I turned to my boyfriend at the time and said, hey, want to get hitched?
And that's pretty romantic, by the way. That's a good story.
And that's the foundation for any successful marriage, by the way, is if you do it for someone else.
Are you still together with that dude?
Yes, we are. We're happily married.
How about
that? Couldn't be happier. And you know, it took a lot of pressure off of him because we come from an Asian culture, so a lot of pressure on his end. He was just kind of like, "Whew."
In the Asian culture,
cool.
In the Asian culture, there's a lot more on the guy than what he's supposed to do. You mean?
Oh yeah, you know, big ring. You know, got to have a house, a car. Yeah.
That's all, guys.
You
by the way,
got to bring it. And poor guy was like, "Oh well, I'm barely starting." So
yeah, he didn't want to marry you.
Yeah, cool.
That's not true, Kevin.
All right, Pearl. Thank you very much for the call. Let's move on to Daniel. He was proposed to, and I think they did it in Ireland, like the tradition. Hi, Daniel. Welcome to the show.
Nice.
Hello.
Hi there. Daniel.
Yeah. What happened, Daniel?
Hey, what's going on? My girl proposed to me today, 4 years ago, when I was home on leave, actually, in Ireland.
In Ireland,
oh,
all right.
God. Did you know it was coming?
I had no idea. I was like, babe, I just want to spend my leave at home. I don't really want to go to another country. I mean, I've been in another country for 2 years. I just want to come home. And she's like, no, I already got us a hotel in Dublin. And this and that. I was like,
wow, she was working. Right. So she did the opposite of what you wanted. Anything, well, honey, but traveling.
I wanted to marry her, but I was thinking, you know, I'm in the military. I'm always going to be deployed as long as things are going on. And I don't know if it's going to happen. And she was like, it's okay, babe. I'll wait. And I guess she finally got sick of it and was like, damn it, I want a ring around my finger to keep the guys off me.
Right.
So she proposed to me then. And to kind of shut her up a little bit, I was like, all right, fine. If we're doing this, we're going big or going home. So we found a priest and said, get it done.
So you she proposed and you got married on February 29th in Ireland.
On February 29th today, I'm actually heading home from work from the base to my wife for the wedding anniversary.
Oh, so you're still married? Still working out?
We are still married. Fantastic. And she has a daughter on the way doing about 6 months. So.
Wow. Awesome. From some other dude. So what do you, how do you celebrate your anniversary, by the way, when there is no February 29th? Do you celebrate on the 28th or on the 1st every year?
No, we celebrate on the 28th when it's February. We wait till it's about a little bit over midnight, and we're like, screw it, doesn't matter, because it's the whole leap year thing.
Right.
But I'll tell you this, we're never going to Ireland again on the 29th. That's never happening again.
All right. So overall bad.
Hey, it sounds like it worked out for Daniel.
All right.
Thank you very much for the call. All right, let's do one more. This is Ross. Now, Ross, I'm not sure the way it's written up here. When were you proposed to?
Ross?
Ross?
Oh, hello, good morning.
Hi there.
Yes, try to keep up. We're doing a radio show here, man.
Okay.
Counting on you to carry your end of the conversation. All right, what happened? When were you proposed to by your woman?
It was a Saturday morning. Don't recall which day of the year it was.
In the last year? In the last 10 years? What?
It was 17 years ago.
17 years ago.
Okay.
Wow, that must have been very rare back then. Women were barely allowed out of the house back
then. It wasn't 17
that years
long ago, Pete.
Couldn't vote, remember?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Couldn't vote, couldn't drink.
Right.
Couldn't own property. I remember all that. Couldn't drive.
So,
all right, so what happened?
Well, she asked me if I wanted to get married. We were actually on separate couches just hanging out, and I looked back at her and said, I have nothing better to do. And
extra romantic.
Well, yes, actually.
You know what? I have nothing better to do, so I guess that's cool.
Yeah, and it's been cool for 17 years.
And you've been happy with her the whole time?
Yes, absolutely.
Huh. Was I've got nothing better to do, was that the answer she was hoping for?
Probably not, but she knew me well enough to know that was probably as good as it was going to get.
All right.
Yeah, Ross sounds like a mellow dude, doesn't he?
He really does.
Definitely
you
does.
You smoke too much weed, Ross.
He is not a dynamic individual. Yeah. Ross, you're very lucky someone chose to marry you. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Ralph Garman?
Uh-huh.
Can we talk about your thing?
What thing?
That's rather personal. I don't think you... I want you talking about my thing.
Bean's been talking about his thing all morning.
I bet he has.
You mentioned it on Twitter yesterday, so I thought maybe it would be okay on air.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Later on today, in fact, I'm heading over to Fox to shoot a little episode of Bones.
Oh, yeah! Fantastic.
How about
Bones?
That?
Doing a little Bones today.
It's a good show.
And I ran into a bunch of people over there when I went in for the audition who I know listen to the show, so maybe they're on their way to work this morning.
It's Bobby!
Not Bobby. Bobby's not returning.
We need a new jingle?
No, Bobby is strictly property of the folks at House. I don't think House would appreciate Bones borrowing their Bobby character.
That might save House, though, if they did a crossover episode with Bones featuring Bobby. That may be all they need to get House back on the air for another year.
No, I will be playing Morgan Delaney in this episode. Stand-up,
Omar, we need
an
It's Morgan jingle.
It's Morgan.
Stand-up comedian Morgan Delaney. And thanks, everyone, who I did tweet it yesterday, because I really just wanted to get David Boreanaz's attention, because I want to hang out with him and talk about the Flyers, because he's a huge Flyers fan. He's a Philly boy. I'm a Philly boy. I know he's a diehard Flyers fan.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to find anyone in Los Angeles to really talk Flyers with. So I just put the shout-out out there because I wanted to get his attention, because I'm hoping – I don't have any scenes with him. I'm hoping somehow we'll run across each other on the set and we can sit and talk
Flyers. Watch a game or two.
So a lot of people were very supportive and came out on Twitter and said a lot of nice things, and I appreciate it. But let's not get too excited. It's just a cameo, really. It's just
– Do you get to tell any jokes as Morgan the stand-up
It's barely a cameo, really.
It's more than Bean and I have.
That's true,
so
but not much more, really. It's just a little bit, just a one-day, little one-scene thing I'm doing today. But it's just fun for me to go over and hang out with those
people. They'll save it for sweeps, though, right? They'll layer in May when they need
course,
it, right?
Yeah, I want to bring out the big guns.
Yeah. Burn that
okay.
out.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Ralph.
No,
that's awesome.
Thank
that's
you.
A lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to it, and I really love that show, so it's kind of fun to do shows that I watch and appreciate and to be behind the scenes on. So I go to do it this afternoon.
That's awesome. 6:53 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob is here now with the Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I want to give away some tickets to a very, very cool event. If you would like to see John Carter, the new Disney film starring Taylor Kitsch. Kitsch.
What's his name?
Taylor Kitsch. There's a lot of T's in there. He, of course, from Friday Night Lights. Samantha Morton also stars. Mark Strong, one of my favorites. He's a great actor. He is in the film as well. It's in theaters everywhere on March the 9th. But if you'd like to see it before anybody else, we're having a special K-Rock advanced screening of John Carter on March the 6th. I've got 5 pairs of tickets to give away right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you're one of the first 5 callers to get through, you will see the story of the Civil War vet who finds himself transplanted to Mars, battling for the freedom of Martians everywhere.
Again?
John Carter. Check it out. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. This is a disturbing story,
And I hate to bring this to you, but I have no choice. It is my job as a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist to...
You have won no Pulitzer.
...to give you the scoop.
Okay.
Apparently, Snooki is pregnant.
Oh!
No.
Story coming from many sources says she is about 3 months along with a child by her boyfriend Gianni.
Nope.
And that Snooki has plans to bankroll her mommy-to-be status into becoming the next Kourtney Kardashian.
No.
Yeah, she is going
A thousand times no.
She is going to make that the focus of her reality show career about her being a new mom. That's what she wants
to
do.
No.
Why?
Oh, I wouldn't hear of it. Absolutely not.
Do you think those genes need to be passed on?
No, they do not.
I think that forced sterilization is not something I recommend for very many people, but I think for Snooki.
I think for the entire cast of the Jersey
Shore,
actually.
Yeah.
Imagine your MTV. Imagine your MTV, and all you got is Snooki drinking and effing and fighting. That's all she's good for. That's her sole purpose of existence, is to be filmed doing those things. Well, her hard-partying booze... swilling ways, obviously, are no more. And now they got this spinoff they're doing with her and J-Wa that they're shooting. They've just begun shooting it in Jersey. And what are they going to show?
Yeah.
What's she going to do of interest?
Because she's not at all interesting when she's sober.
No, she's a zero. She's barely interesting when she's loaded.
Oh, no. No way, man. Oh, holy freaking God.
Her soul, really, her best moment of all of Jersey Shore, her best achievement was catching a punch to the face. Remember that episode?
It was pretty good.
That was awesome.
Well, she did run into a cop car in Italy.
Yeah, that was pretty good, too. But I still think the punch to the face was her crowning achievement. Anyway, she is denying it publicly because sources say she is brokering a deal with... one of the magazines announce the news on the cover. Us Weekly apparently won the sweepstakes.
Oh, good. Lucky for them.
So they will be announcing on the cover of their magazine. After she shopped it around to several other celebrity magazines, they will have the exclusive story. So,
what about Snooki's life led her to the conclusion, now's the time for me to have a baby and start a family?
Oh, do you really think she did it consciously?
I agree.
I guarantee you it was just a
mistake.
Well,
she didn't take steps to avoid it from happening.
Yeah, because she's an idiot.
Because she gets drunk and does whatever she does.
Yeah, but she can remember to take a pill a day. Yeah.
Oh, Bean, you're giving her so much more credit than she deserves.
Yes, you are.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, God, no.
And sad news, looks like we may not have Justin Bieber for very long. You guys play Justin Bieber?
No.
You don't play Justin Bieber?
I don't even know what that is.
You got to download the Android app Justin Bieber.
Yes, I do.
See, Justin Bieber is a little beaver with bangs and a lance and a purple sweater, and he floats on a log down a river.
Right.
And he uses his lance to hit the photahogs. They're like pigs who are trying to take pictures of him.
Wow.
And then sometimes he stops and signs otter-graphs for little otters who come by the river. Hello?
No.
Anything?
No.
Then he's got to dodge the whirlpool of success that will spin him out of control as he navigates the river. Anyway, Justin Bieber's lawyers sent a cease and desist letter to the makers of Justin Bieber because they say it's a copyright infringement. Sure. The game maker, however, is countersuing, saying it's a parody of Justin's commercial success, and that gives them First Amendment protection. So the battle of Justin Bieber continues.
I want this to go to the Supreme Court.
Justin Bieber
versus Justin Bieber.
Yes. I rented Justin Bieber the other night.
How was that?
It was excellent. Well done. Right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dennis Farina, very talented actor, is 68 years old today. He was in a cop show. I guess his first big break was a cop show on NBC called Crime Story.
I used to watch that.
It was like a throwback 60s. It was set in the 60s, and he played a cop in Chicago in the 60s.
See, the guy that looks like he got blasted by a sandblaster in the face?
Yeah, mustache, very Italian-looking guy. Plays mobsters or cops. That's all he seems to be. But he was a real cop. That's the thing.
Oh, he was.
Who got into acting late in life as he got out of the police business and ended up playing cops in real life. So, interesting story. 68. Antonio Zapata Jr. is 40 years old today. Mark Foster of Foster the People is 28. Motivational speaker Tony Robbins turns 52. And everyone who's writing in saying, no, Antonio Spada Jr. isn't 40 years old. He's actually only 10 years old because leap year only comes around every 4 years. So everyone's age that you're saying on the birthdays has to be divided by four because it's not their real birthday. Just shut up!
Ralph at krock.com.
Shut up!
If you'd like to
stop it.
Have your input.
Stop it! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You eating your free cookie from Subway yet?
Man.
Oh, they're so good.
Free pancakes, then free cookies. What is going on?
Recession. That's what's going on. Free pancakes yesterday at IHOP. Free cookies with any purchase at participating Subways today. We're not getting paid to say that, but Subway cookies, seriously, are like the best cookies there are.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. This is, I didn't know this was going on, but apparently every month, 60 Minutes, the TV show, and Vanity Fair, the magazine, do a poll of Americans where they talk about a wide range of topics. For instance, in the current poll, we find out that Americans find the Iraq War to be the most unpopular war ever, even more than the Vietnam War, for instance.
But I can see that because it's so much more fresh in their memory.
Absolutely, yeah. You know. They asked Americans what's the ideal number of children for a family to have, for instance. They came back with two. Two is the most popular response to that. So it's just a wide range of things. But here's one that I thought was really interesting. And I don't know why they thought to ask this question now, because it's not like there's a James Bond movie coming out right now. But they asked, who is your favorite actor that has ever played the James Bond character? And there have been a lot of them over the years. You know, there's Roger Moore and Pierce Brosnan and Daniel Craig, of course, is the current one. A couple of other guys have played it. But number one by a landslide vote was the original James Bond in the movie, Sean Connery.
What?
Wouldn't you just think that it would be Daniel Craig just because he's the James Bond that most people go see in the movies now, and most people know and most people think of as James Bond?
He's the one they've seen in the last 5 years.
Yeah, and he's also great, too. Huh. But Sean Connery, by far, 56% of those surveyed said Sean Connery is their favorite James Bond. And we wanted to find out how Mr. Connery himself, the Academy Award-winning actor, thought about that. So we have Sean on the phone right now. Hi, Sean. Welcome.
Well, if it isn't Big Head Todd and the Monster.
No, it's just your buddies Kevin and Bean. How have you been? We haven't talked to you in a while.
I've been sexy and rich. How have you been?
Neither. Well, neither of those. Yeah.
Thought.
Okay, you don't have to be angry with us. Mr. Connery, how old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
Hold on, let me look it up on Wikipedia. You might ask me my weight, too.
Well, I mean, the reason he's asking, how long has it been since you've played James Bond? How about that?
About 40 years ago.
40 years?
1971 was my last Bond film. If you don't count, Never Say Never Again, which I don't because it was
Okay. Well, that's why we were so surprised to see this poll that we were just speaking of, the 60 Minutes Vanity Fair poll out on newsstands today in Vanity Fair magazine, about you are still, here in 2012, America's all-time favorite James Bond.
Well, that doesn't really come as a surprise. I mean, I did originate the role.
Right, but it was so long ago. Like, for example, myself, we were talking about the fact that I've never seen you as James Bond.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, it's been 40 years since you've been James Bond.
Yes, but you know, they have these things called DVDs now.
Yes, I know that.
You put it in a machine, and it shows you a film.
Right, I'm aware of that.
It's magic.
Right.
It's as if the people live inside your television set, you dumb.
Okay, if you can watch your language, please, Sean.
Okay, if you could watch my appreciate that, too. Okay. Coming out.
Oh, no. So you're saying there's no excuse for having not seen the classic all-time great James Bond movies, right?
That's right. That's like looking at the dollar bill and saying, who's that ugly with the wig on it?
What's your favorite James Bond movie? What's the best one?
My favorite film, I think, would be Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
It established the tone for the rest of the series that they still follow to this day, even with a playing him.
You're talking about Daniel Craig, who's the current 007 in the films, right?
Yes, Daniel Craig now plays James Bond, and I think she does a wonderful job, despite not having testicles or a
No, he is a man. He's definitely very much a man.
How about...
Oh, come on, Sean. Look, no one is disputing that he is a man, okay, Daniel Craig. What about Pierce Brosnan at number two on this list? What do you think about the job he did in the years he was James Bond?
I think Pierce tried very hard to follow up my legacy, but it turns out he, too, has a vagina.
Well, I don't think that's true either. He may not have done a job, you know, up to your satisfaction, but I don't know that he has a vagina.
All I know is Judi Dench has a bigger than he does.
Okay. So nobody who ever played James Bond after you handed down the character is worth a damn.
No, I am the best Bond by far, and I think your little Your little survey there proves it. That it does. People still think of me as the one and original James Bond.
That's true.
Okay.
So what should happen to Kevin if he doesn't go out immediately and watch Goldfinger?
Well, in the film Goldfinger, there is a scene where I'm strapped down to a table and a laser is cutting between my legs about to castrate me.
That seems bad.
I think that's exactly what we should do to Kevin.
That's a little much for not seeing a movie.
Well, then watch the movie.
Well, great to talk to you too, Mr. Cottery.
It was a painful experience speaking with you too.
Okay.
As always.
Okay. Bye, Mr. Bond.
Mr. Bond?
Or Mr. Cottery, whatever you...
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Hey, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2012 going on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. for K-Rock Street Team members. Please go to K-Rock.com and sign up. Make sure you get that password so you can buy those tickets. An unbelievable lineup again this year, and one of the guys who's going to be playing for us on April 7th,
Adam
Jay
Sessler.
Moore. What? Nope, Jay Moore is going to be joining us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Sessler is here now, though, from xplay.com and G4. Hey, Adam, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Hey, I actually saw Jay 2 weeks ago.
Did you?
Out in Vegas, yes. It was for the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences Awards.
He was Did he do stand-up comedy at that event?
Yes, he definitely did. It was funny, it was foul, it was
That's
not,
our boy.
Not for TV. Let's put it that way.
It's everything you love.
No, he's incredible. We're so psyched to have him on the bill again this year, too. And we're psyched to see you. It's been a while since we had you in. And I thought about you the other day. I saw some commercial for, I think it was for Star Wars Connect. And I was thinking, how is this not the most popular game in the world, Star Wars Connect, when you could actually have a lightsaber fight in your own living room?
It could be the most popular game in the world. It's going to come out shortly. I'm actually about to go see it tomorrow.
Oh, it's not out yet. That's why
it's not out yet. When we first saw this, though, it was at E3 last year. It felt very kind of childish, and you weren't doing. You don't have kind of the freedom of movement. Obviously, you can't when you're playing Kinect because you don't have a controller in your hand,
right?
And you're kind of making these fun motions. But what's odd is. Yeah, you can pretend like you have a lightsaber, but it's a little bit nicer to actually hold something in your hand when you're thinking about kind of, you know, going at it.
Right. So it's more of a kid version of the game.
I'm going to hold my opinion on that until I see it tomorrow, because I know that they're trying to get over that perception of the game.
I got you.
Can you, because this is the impression that I got, and maybe I'm dead wrong on this, can you move things with the Force? Like, in other words, you kind of push your hand towards something and it reflects
and
on the screen.
And that's the cool stuff, because obviously you don't need something in your hand to have your Force powers blow people away. Or, you know,
you don't have to show me about the Force. Come on.
Isn't it amazing how many decades ago Star Wars came out, and it still has this massive cultural presence in 2012.
Oh, it's still a point of discussion every single day at G4.
Wow.
You know, obviously, the last three movies, which we see as an act of betrayal for our memories of childhood.
A lot of Star Wars people
always come up. But then, you know, we start talking about, hey, what are they going to do with, you know, let's go see Empire again or matters like that. It pretty much that and Batman are always discussed at G4.
Sure. Interesting.
Because we're adults.
We're very excited to have you back because a lot has happened since the holidays, since the last time we talked to you. And the thing that is just blowing up the world right now is this PlayStation Vita. And you have one in your hot little hand, right?
Yes.
Describe
it for people. Kevin.
Describe it for people who haven't seen it.
It's large. It's got a very large OLED screen. And it's gorgeous.
Those of you that don't know the term OLED, it is a better looking screen than you've ever seen before.
Yeah, and because it's smaller and it's not as big as say, you know, your 60-inch TV.
It's a little handheld, is what it is.
Right. It really concentrates all those colors and it just pops right off. But you can play games on it that are like the games you play at home because for the first time we have a handheld video game system that has two analog sticks. That's what you're used to with the PS3 or a 360.
Right.
But the PSP and all of the DSs, they only had one stick and then one of those kind of cross symbol D-pads, as we like to call them. And the challenge with that is they would try to make games that you were used to playing at home, but without that other stick, it was really hard. And the developers who made the games were trying to unlearn a decade's worth of knowledge of how you make video games.
Right.
And so now you can play Uncharted, which is one of the most popular games on the PS3. You can play a new version of it like you're used to playing it right there in your hand.
Now, can you continue a game that you've started at home? Is that one of the things you can do, is just walk out with it?
You cannot do that now. Okay. I would not be surprised if there was a goal somewhere down the line. That's a pretty serious accomplishment if they pull that off.
I agree.
But, you know, we're expecting a new PlayStation in a year or two. They might be taking that into consideration.
This may be a dumb question, Adam. I really don't know, though. Is it's Wi-Fi only, or can you sometimes play these games on a cell network?
Okay, so this is the big conundrum that everyone's wondering. There are two models. There's a $250 model that is just Wi-Fi.
Okay.
There is a $300 model, that is 3G available. Now, here's the one nice thing, is that you don't have to get a contract. Just through the Vita, you can pay $20 and you get like a month's worth of 3G. But the data cap is so small, I don't know what you would do with it. So
so basically,
you can play Hangman. That's about it.
So basically, you can pay $20 and you can get a data plan, but it's not going to be enough for you to play a game
or,
on that.
Or you can pay more to get a good data plan, but now you're paying a fair amount of money. More importantly, we don't really know what the 3G does. Yes, you can download smaller games to it. You can actually download bigger games to the Vita, but just go home and use your Wi-Fi on that.
Yeah, it's a lot slower than Wi-Fi anyway.
Yeah,
so.
And there's small social aspects to some of the games that don't seem to really enhance them a ton. Maybe there'll be something further down the line. It's just one of those, if you're getting the 3G model, see it more as an investment for something down the line, then you're going to get something awesome right now.
Are you going to leave that one here today? I mean,
I can draw you a picture.
No, I mean, if you were to leave it like over there on the counter or something, and then you get to work and go, oh, my God, I forgot
it. I love
it.
How you think, like, I have, like Fort Vita in my home.
You have,
you have 80
I have
of
so
these,
many
right?
of these, I don't know what to do with
you
them.
You have 100% more than I have.
Adam, okay, good point. Why is 4G so slow to be rolling out?
Because
I hear
it is
much,
things.
Much better.
I have no idea. I don't even really know what 4G is. I think there's a bill in the California State Assembly that's trying to clarify what the difference is between 3G and 4G because
it's faster
it's
than
defined.
3. It's better than 3.
It is one
3G
more.
3G is defined differently by all the different carriers.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, there's no kind of like universal scientific standard of what this is, and I think it's kind of like Olestra, you know.
It's like
you
HD,
don't know what it
can,
is, but it made us poop.
Remember, we used to talk about,
what just happened?
We used to talk about with HD that there was such thing as something low enough that you could call it HD, but not good enough to be true HD. Remember, it was the same sort of thing.
Right. They're, because those are more general accepted standards. There's 420p, there's 720p, and there's 1080i, or 1080p as well. So, yeah, that's something we can all get on board with. I don't know what 3G is.
Huh. Interesting.
It means fast, apparently.
But just not as fast as 4G.
Exactly, because that has a 4. So apparently
it does have a 4, 5G, not a 3.
Somewhere
it
out there
like
going, hey,
marketing.
Look at me.
This PlayStation Vita, then, before we take a break with Adam Sessler, it's already sold over a million units already, and it's a game changer, right? I mean, this is the real deal. This is worth
looking at. It stands
to
be a game changer, good or bad. This is probably the last attempt to see if there really is a viable handheld market for adults.
Is that right?
Nintendo has done very well with the DS, but their more recent release, the 3DS, did not sell well, in large part because they didn't have good games for it.
That's what I was just going to ask you.
After it launched.
Tell me about the games for Vita.
Vita has good games. Their big one is the Uncharted game.
Uh-huh.
It is not as good as your Big Daddy Uncharted games.
Of course.
It's really cool to have it in your hands. They have a nice long list. It looks like there are more games coming down the line. But for $250, I mean, it's large. I mean, how big would you say that is?
I would say it's about twice the size of your wallet, probably.
Right. And it doesn't have a phone, so you're going to have to carry your phone with you.
Right.
You might also have a tablet. What we need is the fashion industry to make the largest cargo pants known to man to carry all this around. So it has some of these issues, and hopefully, but if it doesn't do well, I think people are going to reconsider whether or not this handheld gaming market is going to have to cede ground to the iPhone and to the Droids, which have smaller and much different games.
I'm glad you're waiting for the better cargo pants pockets, because seriously, I know you're tempted to get a fanny pack right now.
Yeah,
don't
some of
do
the
it.
Bugle Boys like, oh, wow, they know.
The fanny pack. All right, Adam Sessler is here. We need to take a quick break. There's so many games that have come out or are coming out very soon. Kingdom of Amalur: Reckoning, I know, is one. Darkness 2, Mass Effect 3, there's Silent Hill, there's so many others, and we'll just we'll hit a bunch of them and get your impressions when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Sessler in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the editor-in-chief of X-Play. That's still accurate, right, Adam?
Yeah,
you're
pretty
still
much.
Editor-in-chief? Okay.
Yeah.
X-Play airs weekdays at 3:30 on the G4 network. You've seen this dude on your TV. You can't believe the chicks he pulls, though, Adam Sessler. It's just
true.
It's astonishing.
Constantly.
It's amazing.
Well, like small birds.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Actual
yeah.
chicks. Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. Terrible name. Great game?
It's an okay game. It's a game that I was actually quite looking forward to. Sat down to review it. It's very long, and usually A lot of gamers just think that, you know, if it's long, it's good because I'm getting more for my money.
Right.
Sometimes that doesn't really translate into a good experience. I had to use the word turgid to describe this game. Its middle section, which I would say is about 35 hours,
uh-huh.
doesn't seem to need to be there, and it just becomes increasingly repetitive. And it was, you know, it was a big game because it comes from Kurt Schilling's new game company,
uh-huh.
38 Studios, and he brought in the talents of Todd McFarlane, who's one of the greatest comic book artists out there.
He created Spawn, right?
Exactly, Spawn. He reinvented Spider-Man way back in the 80s. He used also the writing talents of R.A. Salvatore, which is one of the biggest fantasy writers out there, and some people who worked on the recently, well, they didn't work on Skyrim, but they used to work on the team that made Skyrim, which is the biggest game of last year.
But all of that doesn't make it a home run.
Not necessarily. The story idea is really good. The storytelling is terrible.
Okay.
You know, we're used to big, you know, nice camera moves, something like that, and strong voice acting. And in this game, they might be saying something interesting. I don't know.
Because
you don't know. It's two plastic-looking heads standing there with their jaws moving and nothing else, and it doesn't even really sync up with the dialogue very well. And,
wow.
You know, if you're going to make
sure it's finished.
I had some questions as to that. But, you know, for 70 hours, if you're going to keep the player engaged, that's when story really becomes important.
Of course.
And, yeah. you know, the combat system is very fun. It's really fast. Some people who worked on fighting games actually lent their talents to this, and you can see it. But they also don't come up with new and different ways that you're going to be using that combat. And so you find yourself doing the same thing for 70 hours.
Speaking of combat, UFC Undisputed 3.
This is just a very, very good game.
Really well done, right?
You know, the UFC franchise, it always does well because there's such a large fan base for UFC.
Mm-hmm.
We've been a little bit lukewarm on a lot of the games that have come out the past years. They seem to be almost great. This is the great one. It's really strong. Once again, I don't think if you're into UFC that you're going to suddenly, you know, do a 180. Be like, oh, I love it now. But for those that are really into it and want all that depth and that complexity of what it's all about, you're going to find it here.
All right.
I love how many of the actual fighters they have in the game, though. I mean, it's as close to really watching it as you can get. It's so realistic looking, too.
Yeah. I also don't know how much choice there is on the part of those fighters to be in the
game.
Well,
that's an excellent point, too.
That happens. What else
that's
do you want to talk about?
Point.
What other games do you want to talk about?
Well, there's another one that came out recently called Darkness 2. And I don't think this one should fly under the radar for a lot of people. It's really fun. The first Darkness was, it's based on a comic book, actually, that is a dark, violent story.
Okay.
You're a guy who's a mobster in kind of a very kind of hyper-real New York, who's possessed by something called the Darkness, which is evil, and it kind of manifests itself as these angry, snake-like things that come out of your shoulders.
All right.
So you play the game both with a gun in each hand, if you want, and two snake things. They're just whipping people around, biting their heads off. It is by far one of the most violent games I've played in years.
It's
a lot of fun, especially because you have four weapons simultaneously. That's not easy to pull off.
Right.
And they did a very, very good job of it.
Another of the most anticipated games that's going to be coming out just next week is Mass Effect 3.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait for this. this is Mass Effect 3. It's probably one of the two biggest games of this year.
I saw all of the advertising during the UFC.
Yeah, and it's an exceptional marketing campaign.
It looks amazing.
This is the conclusion to what's probably one of the greatest trilogies in games out there. It started way back in, I think, 2006. I might be wrong on that one. It's a big space sci-fi saga with a lot of characters. But what really makes it work is that you have fun action, you have all that, but the writing's very strong. And in the game, the character you play interacts with all the other characters.
Oh,
and
I see.
You can behave in a variety of ways. You can be really nice, or you can be a lot more stern. It's not so much good, evil, as just sort of how you
hardcore
behave.
Hardcore, or...
And the story will change as a result of that. And it doesn't just change in the one game. When you get Mass Effect 2, it imports the saves from Mass Effect 1 and decisions you made, and some of them
no
are tough moral
kidding.
Decisions, start to have ramifications in 2. The same is going to be true for 3, which is really going to close out this massive epic story, and I think for fans of the series, you can't, like, I can't wait, because by this trick, you're so personally invested in these games.
Because it knows,
like,
all your choices from the previous
exactly.
2.
Wow. And you want to see how it's all going to turn out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Can you save the universe as a result of what you did in the first 2 games?
When does this come out? Next week?
Next week on Tuesday.
Next week. Adam, you are always so busy with playing the new games for work. Is there ever a time where you just have the freedom to go back and play an old game that you just love, something you always go back to?
Summer. tends to be the time.
Summer's overtime.
Yeah, it's one of the strangest things in the game industry. You would think with a large gaming population not busy with school,
right,
that they'd put games out in the summer. You know, Hollywood kind of keyed into that idea.
Uh-huh.
For whatever reason, the game industry, because they've still behaved like the toy industry of 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
they put everything out at the end of the year. So
for
summer
Christmas.
Is... Yeah, for
basically.
Christmas. Yeah, and then what happens is only two games are very successful because they're all kind of competing in the same space.
Oh, I see. Mm.
But
what's your go-to classic that you still enjoy? You know, like I have records that I may have listened to 1,000 times, but for some reason that's all I want to hear one day. You know what I mean?
It's the old Mario games.
They
still hold up. What's fun? What's the 2D games from the first two generations of gaming consoles?
Mm-hmm.
They tend to hold up better because their controls still make sense. Once we moved into 3D, the technology of trying to move a camera around a 3D space, it was pretty archaic back then. And what you're used to now, trying to go back to those games,
yeah.
can be very, very challenging and not in a good way.
Gotcha. Well, very exciting with all this stuff coming out. And X-Play, you're going to be showing demonstrations and talking about them in great detail.
Yes, actually, Mass Effect 3 will be showing some stuff this week on the show.
Fantastic.
Oh, fantastic. That's weekdays at 3:30 on the G4 Network. You can follow Adam on Twitter at Adam Sessler and check him out at xplay.com. Always great to catch up with you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Always good to be here.
Thank you.
It needs that double clap.
Don't you feel like it needs it?
No.
It's world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:53.
We were just talking to the studio, Ralph, before you came in for the showbiz beat about how Beer Mug, in 2 weeks of dieting and exercise, is down 0.7 pounds.
I know. It's remarkable. He should start a program like Jenny Craig or something.
He's a new
You can go to KROQ.com and see the post-show interview that Kevin did with him yesterday where Beer Mug with a straight face says, yeah, I'm on pace. I'm on pace. This is where I hope to be after 2 weeks.
Yeah, a lot of strategy and willpower. 0.7 pounds in 2 weeks, and he says he's on pace.
And I wanted to ask him about it, but he was too busy eating a free chocolate chip cookie from Subway, so I wasn't able to get to him for the explanation of how his diet is going. Yeah,
well,
so
he's 0.3 pounds now lost.
Exactly.
He's doing well.
Anyway, funny man Jay Moores is joining us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
This is exciting. I rarely get a chance to debut a new artist.
Oh, wow.
I know you guys usually handle most of the music and stuff on the show. And
it is fun to find new artists.
I come in and just, do my slapstick comedy, seltzer in the face gags and stuff. And But I like to think I'm going to break this guy.
Okay.
Well, I'm a big fan of Denny Blaze. I love to get blazed.
You do, yeah.
He, of course, legendary rapper who gave us Average Homeboy. You remember the song Average Homeboy?
Yeah, I don't
sure.
know.
We had Denny in not too long ago, actually. He was performing here locally, and he came in and gave us some mad rhymes, dropped
right.
some beats.
Sure.
Fat, rhymey beats.
Yo.
Yo. And Denny is a unique talent. He is gifted. But much like Beyonce and Jay-Z have now given Blue Ivy Carter to the world.
Right.
Because, she dropped her single earlier this year.
The one where she's yelling as a baby on the end of it?
Well, you say that. I say she was singing. And she was a featured artist on that single.
Okay. All right.
Now, the Average Homeboy has brought us the Little Homeboy.
Oh.
Denny's 3-year-old son is now entering the rap game, and he sent me an advanced copy.
Yes.
So I think this may be the first time it's ever played on radio. This is an advanced copy, just a little taste of the Average Homeboy's son, the Little Homeboy.
Hey, yo, yo, I'm Little Homeboy. Yo, yo, I'm on the Skywalker Show. I play with my toys. I want to make a noise. I love my choo-choo train. I don't like it. I can keep this my bird. I want to watch Big Bird. Let me tell you. I like Scooby-Doo. I solve mystery. Hey, I know my name is Steve. My daddy taught me. Yo, yo. I'm a girl, as you say. I'm a cutie. I make my song. 1, 2, 3. I write cookies. I chips ahoy. Now you know. I read a homeboy. Yo, yo.
Yeah.
I'm
Little Homeboy.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I can't understand a word
he likes
saying.
His cookies like Chips Ahoy. He's the
cute.
Little Homeboy.
How old is Denny's son?
Little Homeboy's three.
3 years old.
3 years old.
Yeah.
How about that?
And
he's already got a hit record.
He's got a gift. So I was just happy to bring that to everybody. It's the all-baby edition of the Showbiz Beat. Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck have had another baby.
They welcomed their third child into the world just yesterday. The new baby was born in Santa Monica. It's a boy. They've already got two girls, Violet and Serafina. So this must be a welcome addition.
Sure.
To the Affleck Garners. Garner Afflecks. Violet and Serafina, ages 3 and 6, suggested many names for their baby brother. Most of them Disney-related, according to Jennifer Garner.
Most of them better than most celebrities, by the way.
Donald Duck Affleck.
Like it?
Mickey Minnie Mouse Affleck. I guess they were didn't know whether it was a girl or boy at the time. Peter Pan Affleck, Captain Hook Affleck, and Smee Affleck.
And what?
Smee Affleck.
Smee Affleck. It's a Smee.
Smee was Captain Hook's right-hand man.
I didn't realize
the sailor on the boat. Okay. You guys remember Peter Pan?
Yeah, yeah, no, but not Smee.
Smee.
Not
Smee. Smee was his...
Smee.
Smee was a very popular character.
I hope they go with Smee.
Oh, Captain.
Well, Smee has the mutton chop beard and everything. Mm.
Did Captain Hook not have a right hand? Is that why he needed a right-hand man?
File. Yeah, I think so.
And more baby news. You're going to find out soon from Us Weekly Magazine, but I'm going to bring it to you first. The bearer of bad news.
Okay.
Although she's denying it publicly, sources are saying Snooki is indeed pregnant.
Mm. Nope.
With her first child by her boyfriend, Gianni.
What happened now?
Nope.
She is roughly 3 months along, according to sources. She's been denying it publicly because she's been brokering a deal to announce it on the cover of one of the major celebrity magazines. She's been shopping around the story, and apparently Us Weekly magazine was the big bidder.
No way!
So they will be covering the Snooki is with child story.
I'm terrified by what's going to happen to that baby.
Think the baby would be tan? Think the baby would be all tan?
All tan.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I think literally in this case it will be because of all the fake tanner that Snooki uses has probably been absorbed by her body to the point where it's now coating her
uterus. It's a bright orange kid.
Yes. She's going to come out looking like an Oompa Loompa.
Can you imagine
like an orange starburst.
Snooki as your mom?
No!
That kid has no chance.
And I was thinking occasionally we'll see a reality TV star who gets pregnant and cleans up her act. Nicole Richie is a perfect example of somebody who turned into, I mean, really turned her life around and now, by all accounts, is just a terrific mom and a down-to-earth person. But she wasn't stupid to begin with. She was dumb and young, but she wasn't stupid. I don't think Snooki can turn herself around because I don't think she's bright enough.
I think the baby will come out smoking, tan, and drunk.
Yeah. Could be.
Yeah.
The flask.
So,
oh, my God, she's got to give up drinking.
Well, that's the thing, Lisa. They're filming the spinoff show currently with her and J-Well that they're filming in Jersey City. And MTV apparently has just got their head spinning.
They don't
because
know what to do.
What do you do on a TV show where you have Snooki and she's not drinking and fighting and effing?
Right.
What do you do with that character?
You don't show it.
Wouldn't that be nice if they just S-canned the whole idea? But...
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda will not be on the show, apparently. It's just J-Well and Snooki. Today's celebrity birthday is Mark Foster of Foster the People. 28 years old today, Antonio Sabato Jr. turns 40. You know, Antonio Sabato Jr., a huge Batman fan.
Is that right?
Yeah. We've never crossed paths, but if we do, I think we're going to throw down.
It's going to be... Oh, it's a fight.
Oh, I think it'll be battle.
Winner take all?
Battle of the Bat fans.
You get all his stuff? He gets all your stuff?
I think so. Yeah, that's how it goes down.
Hope that happens.
Pink slips, man. Motivational speaker Tony Robbins is 52 years old today. See, he had Oprah walking across coals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I did not see that. No.
Yeah, Tony Robbins, she did a story with Tony Robbins on her own network, and he taught her how to walk on coals. Is that a useful skill, you think? Comes in handy in everyday life?
I know
so in case you run across some coals, you'll be able to walk
across
them?
I know that when she did it, she was younger, my wife did it.
Really?
With the Tony Robbins thing.
She did the Tony Robbins thing?
Walked across the coals.
And what's the point of that?
I don't know.
Mind over matter, man. You don't burn your feet because you're in a state. You're in a state of not burning.
I don't burn my feet because I don't put them on coals.
But if you did, you would burn your feet.
But there's no instance where I need to put them on coals.
It's just an example. It teaches you how your mind can conquer anything that has to do with your
physical. My mind doesn't need to conquer something that I'm never going to have to do.
Let me stand corrected. Your particular mind probably couldn't conquer the hot coals. But they're saying the average person can put themselves in such a state that you can walk across burning coals and not even injure your feet. Fascinating. And Dennis Farina, very talented actor, 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Magic.
I'll go. How about me? Okay.
Hey, Lisa, now it's time for you.
Thank you.
All right. It's about to go off the rails here. Jay Moore in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show one more time. Hey, Mr. Moore, how are you?
It's the Dice Man this morning. Look at all these girls in their cars, huh? Sitting right on it.
Hey, Jay, I know you got an awesome event tomorrow night, and I want to talk about that. But since you're here, how about Kevin and Bean April Fool's just 2012, Saturday, April 7th at the Gibson? Have you seen the lineup of which you are a part this year? Have you seen
somehow
who's on
Eddie
the bill?
Eft is on it, so I'm a little confused.
That's correct.
Eddie Eft is on it.
However,
yes. I think he snuck in.
Is Jim Jeffries on also?
He is.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's, you know, it's like you got Batman and Robin.
All right. Bob Saget.
Yes. Eddie Izzard.
Yes,
Eddie Izzard. Izzard. What about that? You know Eddie Izzard at all?
I do not, and I look forward to meeting him, shaking his hand and saying hello, sir.
You know what's interesting is Eddie Izzard is one of those guys who he came into the studio. We said, well, we should at least ask him because we're fools if we don't. But there's no way he'll do it. And he was, yeah, sure.
Look at Eddie Izzard wearing the dress, huh? How are your balls?
Also, Tim Minchin is going to be bringing his songs.
He's a musician.
Yeah, he plays piano.
He's in comedy music, exactly.
Twitter is relentless with the recommended follow.
Oh, is that right?
He's hilarious.
You know what's happening? You do this on Twitter, I block people that they keep telling me, suggesting for me to follow. Just so their name doesn't recycle.
I haven't thought of that, but they do come up over and over and over again.
I got so tired of seeing the same four names that I just started blocking everybody like, hey, you should follow this. No, I shouldn't. And anybody that asked me to retweet for somebody's illness in their family, ba-boom, block.
Yeah, I don't get that
either.
Hey,
this kid's dying of cancer. Could you retweet it? No? I'll do you one better. I'm going to eliminate you from my mind. Why do you get the kid a freaking doctor instead of wasting your time on the internet as he goes through dialysis, you creepy mom? Yeah, that'll help. That'll solve him. Hey, I got an idea to make this child feel better.
It's Norm McDonald.
I could tweet. I don't know. Maybe get his cancer, his T cell, white blood cell count down. You know, because I tweeted. Why do you get him some tetracycline, honey? Huh?
Also, Brad Williams is going to be on the bill. Felipe Esparza. It's an unbelievable night of comedy.
Felipe Esparza, winner of Last Comic Standing.
Yes, that's right. He's going to be playing as well. I'm so excited that you're back. I know you played for us, I think, the opening year, Jay. I think you were on the bill the first year we did it. But it's so great to have you with us. The tickets go on sale for K-Rock Street Team members tomorrow at 10 a.m. You can get those details at krock.com. But you're a comedian, and will endorse this. It is an amazing night of comedy, right?
It's one of the most fun nights I've ever had in my life professionally because you go out. I might have said it on stage where I walked out and I realized I saw Pearl Jam here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I saw Weezer and Deftones here, and now I got to tell stories.
Yeah.
Like, so me and my son rented a kayak. Eddie Vedder said, I appreciate everybody coming out tonight to the Gibson Amphitheater. There's no advertising anywhere in the building whatsoever. Have you seen Pearl Jam? Did I say this right on your show?
I have seen Pearl Jam.
The guy stops the show three songs in and goes, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Dick Cheney is the world's biggest a-hole. And you're like, you didn't play Jeremy yet. You are. What are we, girlfriends now? We're just talking? Do I get a chance on the mic? Hey, Twitter, at JMoore37, holler, son, for real. And then he says, they're at the Forum. And there's nothing at the Forum anymore except Black Church.
Correct.
And he goes, the reason we play the Forum and not Staples Center is if you look around, there's absolutely no advertising anywhere in the building. So really? That's your bit. You know what? I spent $400 to sit up top with the Mexicans. Maybe if it was Purina Dog Chow and Starbucks present Miller Genuine Drafts Pearl Jam, I could have had an $80 ticket, you tiny creep. Now get back in my pocket, little Eddie Vedder.
I'm going to go back in Jay's pocket, all right.
I'm going to Luke Aarons. The only thing I want to hear you say is 1, 2, 3, 4. And then do your Billy Goat gag. Well, swim to recognize your face. Well, I remember. Can't seem to blur.
And yes, good, Eddie Vedder.
Running to them on the beach this morning.
Of course you were.
To the evolution, baby.
Speaking of telling stories, you are doing something very special, which is a live More Stories, which is, of course, your amazing podcast that you do. But you're doing it in front of an audience, and that's going to be tomorrow night at the Irvine Improv. How did this happen?
Irvine Improv said, would you like to do your podcast live from our stage? And I said, yeah, but, you know, I should bring some people down, some special guests. Daryl Wright was just on. Ryan Sickler. I'm trying to get somebody whose name I almost let slip. Special guests to come.
Special guests.
But I think what we're going to do is do a little bit, like we each do maybe 10 minutes of stand-up, and then we'll do the podcast. Oh, so it'll be like a real, like, great night.
Whole night.
And I'm asking Orange County to come out to the Irvine Improv tomorrow, Thursday night. Let's do this.
I don't know if you have topics for the podcast tomorrow night?
We let it flow because Daryl's a felon. He shot a crackhead. And so, you know, you don't want to, you know, you can't put a fence around that horse. You just got to let that colt run.
Right.
And as he said to me on my podcast, man, it's hard to shoot a crackhead. They swerve. You know crackheads. I'm like, no, actually, I don't know any at all, ever. And then Ryan Sickler.
Who's trying to bond with you over shooting a crackhead?
Yes.
It's a little odd.
And he told me the best. He went to jail for, I think he went to jail for 16 months. Michael Vick went to jail for 20 months for shooting a dog. He goes, so he carries, this is Daryl Wright. Well, you should come see the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah,
explain
like
getting
it.
More time for shooting a dog than for shooting another black man. And then Ryan Sickler is super hilarious. They're both Baltimore guys, and they talk a lot of trash to each other. So it's
10
be,
minutes of each from doing comedy, and then all three of you doing the More Stories?
I guess, but there's no structure, so we'll just see how it goes. I mean, if the crowd, I could go up and just do like, you know, once I start talking into a mic, I'll probably just wind up doing 40 minutes and then do the podcast. But it'll be everything you want. You want impressions, stories, podcasts, stand-up. You'll get it tomorrow night at the Irvine Improv. Let's fill it up.
Fantastic. Let's fill it up. No,
but
absolutely.
April
Kevin Foolish fans always come out to represent you.
They really do. You guys have, like, the most rabid, great fans. And I will say this. I'm fired up. If I have pneumonia, I'm going to give you my word.
Okay.
Because I read the tweets. Is he going to get a movie and cancel again? It's on a Saturday. So unless it's an independent movie where you work 6 days a week.
Or it's in filming in the East Coast.
Look, that happened last year. So what do you want from us?
I got Suburgatory, where they paid me minimum wage, and after four episodes said, thanks, don't come back. We're going to write you out and put in the situation.
But that's not going to happen this year.
They put the situation on.
They didn't really, though.
Yes, they did.
But not in the place that you had.
No, but okay. It's like, well,
thank you, Jay. We're going to go with Mike.
All right, let's let Jay give his solemn bond that he's going to be there, though, because I want this on tape for when he cancels.
Right. He's not going to cancel.
No, he's not going to cancel. But I'm saying if he did, it'd be funny to have this tape of how earnestly he's telling us that he's really going to be there. Go ahead, Jay.
All right, I'm going to say it in a roundabout way. If I have pneumonia, I will be on stage at April Foolishness.
All right. Mm-hmm. What about any other
but
sickness?
But if you have another job.
What am I supposed to do? Turn down a movie?
Here it goes.
Sorry, Midnight in Paris 2.
Even later in Paris that same night?
How? Paris at 10:40. Paris 12. I couldn't even get the times right. Paris 12:05. That was a terrible joke, and I apologize to everybody in their cars right now listening. You're like, I could be listening to Stained right now. What's this guy saying?
All right, we got to take a break. More Stories live on stage. See the podcast unfold before your very eyes with special guests. Tickets are only $30. What a great night of entertainment at the
Bring
Irvine
out the
Improv.
Animals, huh, honey?
.com. And then, of course, tomorrow at 10 a.m. is when tickets go on sale to see G. Moore one more time at the Gibson Amphitheater as part of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2012. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Funny man Jay Moore in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Follow him on Twitter at JayMoore37. By the way, is there a Jay Moore 1 through 36? Is that how you ended up with that?
No, Jay Moore was taken when I signed up for Twitter, and 37 was the number I wore when I patrolled the outfields of Verona Hillbilly Baseball. Hillbillies.
Check you
that
out.
Was my high school. We were the Hillbillies.
Really?
Yeah, we were the Verona Hillbillies. Look it up. Verona, New Jersey. 07044, baby. We're the Verona Hillbillies.
I don't know anyone that uses that name for themselves.
It's incredible. Wow. Our logo just got changed because it was insensitive, I guess, to hillbillies.
How
really?
Is that possible?
Because it was a guy with, like, ripped overalls, bare feet, with a moonshine jug, a fishing pole, and a rifle with a dog. Like, that was the actual, like, on the t-shirt, on the helmet and stuff, it was just like a V. And then now they made it, he's just sitting on his porch with a fishing pole.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to offend hillbillies.
Did they change the name to or just the logo?
No, we're still the hillbillies.
Still the hillbillies.
But there's
though.
No gun and there's no whiskey jug, and I think maybe they gave them shoes.
They got rid of the good stuff.
The hillbilly lobby is you can't underestimate the hillbilly lobby.
I've never thought of the hillbilly lobby.
I mean, Jeff Foxworthy got involved.
Sure.
Ron White. You might be a hillbilly. He almost named his entire show "You Might Be a Hillbilly If."
So close.
And by the way, I really like those guys. I wasn't making fun of them.
Jay, I know what a huge sports fan you are. I know you follow sports very closely.
The biggest, honey.
And I know that you are great when you fill in on Jim Rome show. But was there a time when you were playing high school baseball that you thought maybe you might make it in sports as a career?
Or basketball?
No, I thought wrestling. I never played basketball because I wrestled, and boys play basketball and men wrestle.
Got it.
You know what they do in basketball practice? They play basketball.
Right.
You don't work like in wrestling.
All right. Take it easy.
You sound like Brian Callen. Relax. There's the logo. There's the Verona Hillbilly logo. How do you like that?
That's awesome.
Whiskey jug. Now, why would you change that?
That is an awesome logo.
It's the best ever. We were the Hillbillies.
It's got a rifle.
I had dreams of going to college wrestling. I wanted to wrestle at Rutgers. My father and sister went to Rutgers. And then I realized I'm not nearly good enough, and I get C's and D's. So this probably isn't going to happen.
Not going to work.
But last night, somebody handed me $50 when I drove to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania to do 15 minutes of comedy. So let me ride this joke thing out. So that's the answer.
Seems to have been working.
Yeah, it went well.
You had to leave the hillbillies behind, but...
Say it. Go ahead.
You heard
Foster
me.
Brooks. Let's try that again. Hey there, everybody. Dean Montelita, hillbilly Mahill. I left my heart in San Francisco.
A rare Dean Martin and Foster Brooks reference here on the Kevin DeBean
Show.
You
sure are a fine little old lunch crowd. I come out first. I watch you people eat. And then that other Italian and Jew come out. Then you have, then you have a show there, Daddy.
What's happening right now?
I was doing Dean Martin.
I think Jay Moore is one of the funniest people in the world, and I understand about half of what he says. I'm running at about 50%.
But that's good. Because, you know, I learned listening to Dennis Miller's The Off-White album back in the day, there were some things that I knew no one in that audience got.
Right.
But they were just, it's like surfing. Like, this wave blows, but it's still pushing me.
Right.
You just ride it out. Like, no one knew that Twyla meant Twyla Tharp, dance choreographer.
Right.
What's with this kabuki stuff, Twyla? Get a limbo stick. Check out the mumma shots. But it was all part of a giant fun package.
What's the least popular impression that you do, Jay? The one that you never get a call for, but you still insist on doing it.
That's the rub. I always get a call for it, and no one laughs, and it's Keitel.
Oh,
people
no.
go, "Dude, Keitel from Reservoir Dogs," and I'll say, "What would make you ask me to do Harvey Keitel? We are at the Irvine Improv. There's no jobs in this town, are there? Like right now, this room just got called."
Then do they interrupt you with some? Someone else?
No, they always yell Do Walkin' and Tracy, and once I get Norm going, I get locked in it, and it goes on for entirely too long, as you saw last time with Demi Moore when I was here last.
Right.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God, I'm so tired. Why don't we go to the hospital?
Why do you get stuck in certain ones and not
Because Norm's is like water going downhill. Like, it's just, there's nothing that can happen that you can't mold into it, whereas... Like, Walken won't know anything about football, so somebody starts talking about Curtis Martin going to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
He won't know. It's hard. It's like, Curtis Martin, yeah, I believe he won, number 28. It sounds fine, but it's not really. But, Curtis Martin. I never forget that time. Curtis Martin. he used to play for the Patriots, eh? Yeah, he got traded to the New York Jets. Oh, my God. Like, I don't know why that's funny already to me.
Have you done Norm for Norm?
No, I haven't seen Norm. And I saw him on the sidewalk outside the Melrose Improv. That's not where I'll be tomorrow night. I'll be at the Irvine Improv.
Yes, right? Irvine Improv, right.
But I get calls for... And here's what happens. When I do Harvey Keitel, Reservoir Dogs, Joe, "I don't know what you think you know, but you're wrong. He's a good kid. He got shot in the gut. It's my... Don't call me a rat!" The crowd is completely silent, like
right,
this room.
Right.
But then there's about 14 people out of 300 that are, like, on acid.
It's gone.
They're gone. Like, and they're not coming back. Like, they're looking at everything differently on their way home.
Did you or do you do prank calls with those voices?
Never. I've never done one. So for anybody that goes, there was a time on the radio station when he called.
You've never done it.
Ever.
Because I don't know how I wouldn't be able to do. I mean, I think I would insist on being prank calls if I could do all those wastes.
Because that's,
I don't like tricking people. I don't like
that's it. Your mindset like mine is, which is that's a skill I wish I had.
Right.
If I had that skill, I would use it in 100 different ways, but I don't have it, so.
You'd use it to get better seats at Kings game. Look, me and my twin girls, if you could just put us down next to the penalty box.
Yeah, we're in a Kings hat today. Very happy about that.
Yeah, of course.
Very happy.
Penner is killing us.
That's what I think.
He's a mope.
We should train him.
You know, hey, Pancake, your name is on the Stanley Cup. Maybe put your stick on the ice and put the biscuit in the basket.
I could not be more with you on that.
He's terrible.
He's terrible.
There's something about the LA Kings that when you put on the sweater, you instantly become a mope. I've never seen anything like it. This poor kid Carter was so happy all of a sudden.
He just started. Give him a minute.
Oh, baby. See, it doesn't really work. So. Hey, this kid. You know, Ina from the Food Network is the big surprise impression.
I don't know who that
Ina
is.
Ina Gardner.
Who is that?
Don't tell Jeffrey. And yes. Don't get me started on my omelet party. How bad could that be? He said you didn't know who it was, and he's laughing.
Well, it's an
she's on the Food
thing.
Network.
I don't watch the Food Network.
She's kind of a larger woman, and it's in the middle of the day, and it's shot in the most high def you have ever seen in your life. It's incredible.
No.
And everything she makes, and she has like four gay friends. And that's her whole – and Dwyer. She hangs out with Dwyer.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of Food Network.
Yeah, who's Dwyer?
Dwyer looks like an extra from SpongeBob.
Okay.
Just one of her friends that had some work done. Didn't work out too good. And there she is. And then what will happen was she'll always tell people at her party, like, okay, I'm going to go in the kitchen and check on the souffle. Don't have too much fun without me. And it's like, okay, there's three gay guys that don't know each other. Like, I don't think a big party's going to. She has the flower shop gay guy, you know, mm-hmm. Michael.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of heavy and he wears like sweaters that aren't like Mike Ditka sweaters. There's a gay guy whose name I forget. He's got a little bit of an accent. And then there's the super hot gay guy, TR. You know, this guy, he's like a male model, hot guy. Look up. All right, you got the computer. This is good radio. We keep showing each other pictures.
We need to take a break, but when we get back, we want to give away some tickets for April Foolishness.
And I would like to tell you two stories if we have time.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Don't tell Jeffrey.
You're our comedy expert today, so we're going to ask listeners to call and tell you a joke and try to get you to laugh. If they can make Jay Moore laugh and you determine that their joke is valid, we're going to put them in the drawing to win tickets for April Foolishness ahead of them going on sale tomorrow. How's that sound?
Yeah, we played this a couple years ago.
We did.
You have to pick one, though. Even though if they're all bad, you got to pick the
I'll
best.
I'll pick one.
All right.
Okay, 1-800-520-1067. If you can make Jay Moore laugh, you can see him on stage at the April Foolishness. We'll do that next year on K-Rock. Two big chances for you to see our friend Jay Moore on stage. One is going to be tomorrow night. He's taping his Jay Moore podcast with special guests. That's going to be at the Irvine Improv. Get your tickets for just $30 at irvineimprov.com. That's at 8 o'clock. Sounds like fun.
One mic is enough, Jay. You only need one mic.
I don't think the listeners fully realize how cool Lisa May is in real life.
I don't think they do either.
Wow, that's nice, too.
I don't think we have time to go into that.
No?
No.
I mean, what's to go into? She's cool as hell.
We have plenty of time for that. What are you talking about?
Hey, every morning she has to tell you, your drive stinks still.
In a very pleasant way.
And you like her. Go ahead,
Jay.
Go ahead.
Jay is also going to be on stage at the Gibson Amphitheater on Saturday night, April 7th. He promised April Foolishness 2012.
I sold it out all by myself.
Tickets haven't gone on sale yet, but Eddie Izzard, I think, will sell a few tickets.
Jeffries. My opening acts. This is big opening acts tonight.
Eddie Ift, Bob Saget. By the way, I don't know if you noticed when I was mentioning the names earlier, including Brad Williams, Tim mentioned, Felipe Esparza. I don't know if you noticed that Larry King is on the bill doing his patented stand-up comedy, Jay.
I did not. And
We asked Larry King, kind of as a joke.
Same as Eddie Izzard.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like you have a wish list of people you'd like to have at Foolishness, and you send out all
Look,
the requests.
I had
don't
a wish list
come back.
For Last Comic Standing for judges. You sit in a room and you go, you know, with Barry Katz going, you know, you get Jerry Seinfeld, Bill Cosby could be a judge,
right.
Carl and Rob Reiner, and then you have like Kathy Griffin, Ant, and Rogan,
right.
And Rogan's like doing me a favor, like he's doing me a solid,
right.
And then it's like Ant going, I didn't like it. It's like, well, I'm glad you're judging others.
Well, we couldn't believe when Larry King said yes, but he is doing stand up now and apparently is very funny. And we talked to Mr. King on Monday's show, and he was very funny talking to us then too. So I'm excited about seeing him too. But anyway,
hello. How are you? Hello. Yeah. Row J.
Gibson Amphitheater. Hello.
I can't imagine what it's going to be like, but that's why we asked him. And then when he came back, we were like, do we really want him on the show?
I would like to talk to you about garlic. It's good for your heart, and your burps may keep vampires away. Garlic. I married a young girl that when I was 70, she was in second grade.
Let's give away some tickets to April Foolishness right now at 1-800-520-1067. Do we have a jingle for this one?
Oh, absolutely.
Can you make Jay laugh?
That's it. Isn't that beautiful?
Can you make Jay laugh?
I can tell you line three.
You can call them out in any order you want.
It's not going to be funny at all.
Not going to be funny. Okay.
All right, let's try line three. Let's go. Let's see how your instincts are here. Line three, and if you think he's funny enough to be in the drawing, we'll put him back on hold.
This is already not funny.
All right, you got the world stacked against you right now, Chris, but go ahead. Try to make Jay laugh.
All right. So, girl goes up to the gynecologist for the first time. She's real nervous, real uncomfortable. Doctor sees that. He goes, "Oh, would you feel better if I numbed you down there?" She's like, "Actually, I think that would help." So he goes, "Num, num, 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 num."
It's better than I thought. I'll give him that.
But just barely.
But can you make Jay laugh?
By the way, that's a tight jingle, bro.
Pretty good, right?
That's hard as hell. I'm putting that on the demo. I'm getting EPMD back together. We're going to regulate.
Can you make Jay laugh?
Wait, fresh.
All right. Is Chris, is he in the running or do we hang up on
him? No, come on. It's a joke about the thing with the other thing. Come on.
Right, exactly. All right, let's try Rachel. Let's go Rachel late line five.
Rachel, you've come back.
Let's see if Rachel can make Jay laugh.
Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
Make Jay laugh.
All right.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Can you make Jay laugh?
You suckers. Okay, go ahead.
All right, why is Santa Claus always so happy?
Why is that?
Because he knows where all the naughty girls live.
Oh, that's so great for Playboy Radio on Sirius XM, but it's terrible in real life.
Can you make Jay laugh?
If you were sitting around in your underwear with a bunch of other broads, I guess you...
Oh, my God!
Let's try Leonard, line one.
No, go to JR.
All right, okay. We'll go to JR, line six instead, then.
JR, hi. Hello, JR. Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Can you make Jay laugh?
JR, you're the fan favorite here.
Are you there?
All right.
Okay. What's your
please talk?
No way is this going to be good. Because the delivery is going to be bad, even if the joke's good.
Why? I have faith.
Right, JR, do you speak English?
You ready?
¿Qué pasó, la raza?
All right. How do Mexicans cut their pizza?
How?
With little scissors.
The problem is
does that count as laughing?
Yeah, I like that one.
You do. Information.
Okay. No, he'll just stay on hold there.
Now he's doing right,
don't get cocky.
Hey, can I do my...
He wanted to do a whole chunk.
Hey, let me do it. I got the... I like... there's that whole list of words that you can use two ways. Like Mexican-Americans will send it back and forth like an email.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine sent me like the word herpes. Like how they will use it, like, we had pizza last night. I had my piece, she had her piece. So that was one of those. So it hit me.
Sort of funny. It was fun, but I was stunned that JR was able to bring that delivery based on how weak he was just getting him on the phone. You
that's
know?
How weak your game is, son.
Let's try Leonard on line one. Let's see if we can
hold
some
on, play my jingle,
JR.
Son.
Can you make Jay laugh?
In 2012, money.
Hey, Leonard.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Make Jay laugh.
Hey, Jay, a couple guys are walking down the street when they see a dog licking himself.
We know this one. This is the oldest joke in the world.
Can you make Jay laugh?
You probably could, but you have to pet him first. Right?
Hey, Jay, I'm going to get you pregnant.
He wins! Yes! He's the winner.
Because you stole his punchline and he made you laugh.
I didn't steal his punchline. How do you steal a punchline if it's a joke?
It first.
It's the oldest joke in the world.
All right, you win.
Congratulations. Jay laugh?
You're going to April Foolishness 2012.
Yeah. All right, congratulations.
Only because he sub-referenced Tracy Morgan. I'm going to get you pregnant, Jay Moores. There's a variation of that. As a guy walks into a bar and there's a gorilla sitting there with a Bloody Mary, and he goes, hey, what's with the gorilla? And the bartender takes a bat and smashes the gorilla across the face. And the gorilla just goes, ah, 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 and goes crazy, jumps over the bar, pulls down the bartender's pants, and, you know, shenanigans ensue.
Sure.
And then the gorilla jumps back and then just goes right back to his drink like nothing happened. And the guy goes, can I try? And the bartender goes, all right, but look, don't hit me as hard as I hit the gorilla. So that's like the extension of that old one. I love don't hit me as hard as you hit the gorilla. As hard. hard as I hit the road. That guy
More
was
stories.
Great.
He's in. We gave him the tickets. More Stories Live on stage tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Irvine Improv. Buy your tickets for just $30 at irvineimprov.com. We guarantee you will have a great time. Jay Moore, we'll see you on April 7th, my friend. Thank you.
I love you guys. Thank you, sir.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Whoops, sorry, I didn't have my mic on there. Southern California legend in the world of skateboarding, Stacy Peralta joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin.
What did he do? I missed it.
He didn't have his mic on.
Oh, good.
He's a big-time film producer now, don't you know? And he's the guy behind this No Room for Rock Stars movie about the Warped Tour. He's Jay Morris. He refuses to leave, doesn't he?
Did he at least put his shirt back on?
No, he took something else off.
He left part of himself out here.
Yeah, he just gave me a little surprise as I turned around.
Happened. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
Anyway, Stacy's coming in here in a minute right now. Ralph,
I wouldn't
George
be showing
show
that off, by the way, Moore, if I were you. I'm not impressive, really. I don't know whether you need a, you know, need some help there, or you need something mental to.
He's gonna come back,
Ralph. Put you in another situation. I'm just curious.
Lisa's not doing her job. I know that.
If I was gonna be, you know, on display, I would make a point of, you know, I got pills for that now. You know,
maybe a fluffer.
Yeah.
Okay. Talking about things that excite me. It's PaleyFest time. PaleyFest 2012. Is the month-long festival put on by the lovely folks at the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio. They take the month of March, and they do a series of evenings with your favorite television programs. It's a great event. If you're a TV fan like I am, you get to spend the night with the casts and the creators of some of your favorite TV shows. And I am giving away tickets all month long to spend the evening with some of these fine folks. This one is particularly near and dear to my heart. I will be there, and you may too if you're one of the callers who get the correct answer to my trivia question. Castle, an evening with Castle. You know how I love Castle.
It's a good show.
It is a great show. I correct you, sir. It is a great show. Nathan Fillion could not be more charming. My buddy John Huertas, of course, plays Esposito on that show. And the lovely Stana Katic.
Yeah, let's not...
Who is just charming and wonderful and talented and spectacular and magical and special, unique,
all of that
fantastic,
is fantastic,
and beyond reproach.
Correct.
And ethereal. And
I don't know that word, but I'm going to agree with you.
Lutwackousness.
Don't know that word either.
I'm just making stuff up now.
I believe we've established that you're a fan of hers.
I am. So here's the trivia question. It's about Stana's career. She, besides being wonderful and magical, also appeared in a comic book movie. She was in a James Bond movie, and she's also in a comic book movie. I just need to know what comic book movie did Stana Katic have an important role in. 1-800-520-1067. If you know Stana's career, you know the answer. First two callers who get through with the correct answer will win a pair of tickets to attend the evening with Castle on March the 9th at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills. And I will be there, probably in the front row. Don't talk to me. Don't bother me. I'm going to be very focused.
Ask Ralph a lot of questions.
Do not bother me. I will be focused solely on the cast of Castle.
Stop. Will Glenda be there?
Glenda will not be attending. So you need to know that right up front. If that's why you wanted to go, to meet Glenda, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Is Natalie Portman secretly married?
Is she secretly married?
To her choreographer, baby daddy.
Yeah.
Benjamin Millepied, who, of course, was the choreographer on Black Swan. That's where they met up. Now, they have had a baby together. Mm-hmm. But at the Oscars, everybody was talking because they were wearing wedding rings. Now, they've made no mention of getting married, but people are speculating maybe they did it in secret. Now, the woman, claiming to be the designer of the rings, told People magazine she made two diamond rings for Natalie to wear on either side of her engagement ring. They are engaged. And she also made a platinum ring for Benjamin. She also said they are eco-friendly, made with recycled metals and conflict-free diamonds. Well, they're just saving the world, aren't they, with those rings? Just make them out of tofu. Let's just go the whole nine yards. So everyone's waiting for them to make the announcement, but people speculating that they're married.
I wonder why people care.
Because they want to know what their celebrities are doing. That's just the way they roll. Carrie Ann Inaba from Dancing with the Stars. She's the super annoying judge on that show.
Yeah.
I love her so much.
How can you love her? She's so horrible.
She's so hot, you for starters.
Pete. You know, Pete.
Well, I didn't think she could be any more annoying, and then I was proven wrong. She is starting her own internet video show.
Nope.
All about cats.
Nope.
It's a new web show about shelter cats.
That was not the word I was hoping that sentence would end with.
It's called Carrie's Crib Cat.
Okay.
And you tune in next month. It's going to be on Petsamy's YouTube channel, and you will meet a different cat every episode.
Nope.
That is handpicked by Carrie out of a shelter, and she will introduce you to her new cat friends.
Nope.
On Crib Cat.
Look, I'm all for...
She's trying to get him adopted.
Animals being adopted.
Nice.
I'm supporting that. I don't think we need any kind of an internet show about cats, though. I just don't.
No, we do. We need Crib Cat.
We really don't.
With Carrie and I hope she holds up paddles and have numbers on her for how much she likes the cats. And hope she uses that this annoying laugh of hers. And she just really goes full bore.
Is she going to make the cats dance? Is that going to be part of it? You can stay alive if they can get a tan in the posset roble or something?
She said that the reason she did... decided to create this show with the death of her own 19-year-old cat in October. She said it was the catalyst for her getting involved in this program.
Okay.
You with me?
I'm with you.
Drone.
I'm with you.
Drone.
I'm with you.
We got to send in a drone.
I hear you.
We got to end this now.
Hellfire missile.
And more reality show news. Janet Jackson. Really? Nobody?
Janet Jackson?
I thought about it. I thought about it.
Might be time to let that go.
Headed to the X Factor as a judge?
Is that happening?
Looks like it may be. Anderson Cooper asked her about the rumor. Us Weekly Reports said she giggled and said she couldn't really talk about it. Well, that's a non-denial. Non-denial?
Right as I there. Said earlier in the week, I just don't think she has the personality for a show like that to be interesting.
Well, she's got a name, though. She certainly is a superstar, and I think people
was.
Tune in
I don't know how much she is.
Well, I think she carries a certain cachet still with her regarding the music industry.
Yeah.
She was a big deal. Had a lot of hits. Look, they had Nicole Scherzinger in there, for God's sake.
I'd rather have LaToya. She's crazy.
No, I agree. I'd rather have Joe.
She's crazy.
I want Joe Jackson. If you don't perform, he gets up on the stage, he beats you with a belt. That's how Joe straightens your ass out. Joe gets some performances out of those people. He knows how to turn
every one of them.
Turn the key. He knows how to push your buttons. All right. We got an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I think Tom on line one has the answer. Tom, what comic book movie was the lovely Stana Katigan?
That would be The Spirit.
The Spirit. That's right. Frank Miller's The Spirit. Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to spend the evening with the folks from Castle.
Sweet. Go Birds.
Go Birds, indeed.
Go Birds.
A little early, I think, to start talking about the NFL, but I like where your heart is. Kimberly also was going to that show as well. I knew we'd get a lady. I knew because the ladies love the Castle.
Do they?
They love Castle, yeah.
Big, big fans. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dennis Farina, 68 years old today. Motivational speaker Tony Robbins turns 52. Antonio Sabato Jr. turns 40. And Mark Foster of Foster the People is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Don't forget, 25 hours from right now, little less. Tickets go on sale for the Kevin Amin April Foolishness 2012. You've heard about the phenomenal lineup. Be a street team member for free at krock.com. Tickets go on sale 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Couldn't be more excited to welcome a guy that we have on the show every couple of years. It seems like, and Kevin was just telling you this off air, Stacey Peralta, that every single time you're doing a new project, we can't wait for it because you apparently have the exact same taste we do in stuff that you write about and film and talk about. I mean, you've done skateboarding movies, you've done surfing movies, and you've done gang movies. And now you're back with a documentary about the Warped Tour, which was so fascinating, called No Room for Rock Stars. It's so fascinating. There's one line in the movie that really stuck with me, which is that every 15-year-old in America wants to go to the Warped Tour. And no matter how many years the Warped Tour is touring the country, it's filled with 15-year-olds who are going to see it because it hits them right where they live.
Oh, man, it's standing room only. I had never been to the Warped Tour before I did this film, before I produced it, and I could not believe every venue how many kids there were. I mean, it was like wall-to-wall. You know, like sardines. Unbelievable how much music there is.
Why the Warped Tour? I mean, this is certainly different from anything else you've done before. Why did you decide to get involved in a movie about music?
I have a really good relationship with Vans, and Vans produced this film, and the executive producer is Doug Palladini, who kind of runs is the visionary behind Vans, and he said, look, we've had this tour for 15 years, it's very successful, it goes all over the country and into Canada, because we want to make a film that celebrates it, and we want to make a film that kind of follows the dream of what it takes to be a rock star, and that's really what this film is about. We follow four very young musicians all very, very different from one another, and they're all chasing this dream of being a rock star, which is so different today than it was, say, 20 years ago. And that's what interested me in the film, is what does it take today in the digital world?
Yeah, what's the main difference today? It's just that the internet and everybody else has the exact same access as you do?
Well, what these guys, what Mitch of Suicide Silence talks about, one of the band members that we feature, is that he talks about, he goes, I have to be on the road over 300 days a year, every day, you know, of the year, 300 wow. days, to promote my records, to become what I want to become. Otherwise, I can't support my family, I can't get him health insurance, and I can't do it, because he goes, my music is not played on the radio. Chris Drew of Never Shout Never, Mike Posner. These guys have such unique takes on the music industry and how they're doing it. And that's what we focus on today, and the trials and tribulations of, you know, within the film.
I know that we have lots of people who listen to this radio station who want to be in bands or think it's a dream gig. It's a lot of work.
Oh, and you it doesn't really, start out a dream gig.
It doesn't start out a dream gig. And most, let's face it, most people in entertainment don't get successful. And the people that do, for the most part, you see why. Because they are driven by such passion. I mean, these kids, I mean, you feature that that Forever Came Calling band. I mean, if they don't sell enough of their CDs at $5 per pop at the Warped Tour, they don't have enough gas money to get to the next stop. I mean, that's how hand-to-mouth they are. And they're living like five guys in a van.
No, those guys are so hardcore, and the band is headed by this young kid named Joe, who's from 29 Palms, California, which is the real, you know, dead-end town. And you get to see what it's like, how this guy wants his dream to happen so badly that he's willing to drive across the country during this entire tour for free, as Bean's saying, selling his CDs, you know, in the line in front of the
Warped
Tour.
For $5 a piece.
With the hope of maybe Kevin Lyman, who produces the Warped Tour, will give him one night on a stage at the Warped Tour. That's his hope. He's following this the whole summer. It's the most brutal lifestyle. We showed the film to a bunch of very successful musicians. We're very curious to get their take on it, you know, guys that have made it. And after they saw the film, they said, you know what, after seeing these guys on the Warped Tour, they go, we feel like we're so lazy. We're just sloths, and we've got to be better. And it really inspired them to be better, because they saw these young guys who were trying so hard to be, you know, to capture that dream.
What percentage of the people who are trying to capture that dream should stop trying to capture that dream? Just guess.
That's because, a really good question, because a lot of bands on the Warped Tour do suck.
Because you'll see an artist get up at the Grammys and say, I'm proof. Anybody that follows their dreams far enough can make it, blah, blah, blah. You know what? That's not true. There are a lot of people who should change vocations and do something else.
Yeah, but I think that's true in anything. You know, in anything it's true. But I couldn't say that on the Warped Tour, because we followed four specific people, and all the guys that we followed seem to be on their way to really, really making it. You know, and also, you know, the director that directed the show, directed the film that I put on place in this, Paris Patton, he has such a great touch with humans and with people, and he's such a great filmmaker that he got into their lives to tell the story, to tell the kind of the intimate tapestry of, you know, what these guys live like.
Uh-huh. And you're going to show it for all of one night.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. What's the marketing strategy here? Because if I can't make it tomorrow night, am I out of luck?
No, it's a brand new world, guys. It's a one-night theatrical release all around the country. There's going to be 10 theaters in L.A. The main one is the Lemely, because that's where a lot of the filmmakers are going to be.
Okay.
And where Suicide Silence is going to be performing. But, you know, we're on iTunes April 2nd. We're on, you know, digital video on May 15th. But, you know, you can go to the NoRoomForRockStars.com. Website and find out all the information and stuff like that.
Fantastic.
But it is a new world. It's a digital release, and it's a whole new way of releasing films.
Stacey Peralta is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Again, we're talking about the film called No Room for Rock Stars. The website, if you want to find the theater near you, is noroomforrockstars.com. I got more questions about this Warped Tour and also about the Bones Brigade. We're already getting Twitter questions, Stacey. They knew you were going to be here. They want to find out what's up with you and that, too. We'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. One of the original Z-Boys in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now, our friend Stacey Peralta, swinging on by, talking about the film he produced called No Room for Rock Stars. By the way, just as an aside, back in the early skateboarding days when you were doing your thing, I imagine K-Rock was all you guys listened to back then, late 70s and the early 80s, right?
That's it. K-Rock was so, I mean, K-Rock dominated L.A. at that time, man. It was like the biggest thing ever.
Those were the
it
days.
It dominated with the people you knew. It didn't dominate with the general population, believe me.
No. You know, occasionally, I remember going into a Hollywood studio one day, and the executive explaining to me, he goes, I have to take an hour out of my day every day to listen to K-Rock so I can understand what's going on in the world.
Hmm.
I thought that was pretty heavy.
Is skateboarding, is that something you think about much anymore, or is it just a distant memory, like almost another life for you, Stacey, since you're so involved in everything else now?
You know, it's both. It's a part of my DNA. It's a huge part of my identity. It's made me who I am. I think about it, but at the same time, I'm involved in other things as well. But it's always present, ever present with me.
You still skateboard at all, or even surf?
I surf all the time, and I do skateboard all the time, all the time.
I was
up in Central California yesterday surfing some very cold water.
Yeah,
this past week.
This No Room for Rockstars movie that we were talking about, which is a documentary about the Warped Tour that I think anyone who's ever been to a Warped Tour will want to see, because it gives you all the different angles, not just from the people involved in playing music on stage, but also the people who put on the show, the people who drive the trucks, people who put the sets together, the people who sell the merchandise, the kids that go. I mean, you really do cover a lot of angles, and it's showing for one night only tomorrow night at a bunch of Southern California theaters. You can go to noroomforrockstars.com if you want to find the theater near you. And people are also asking about Bones Brigade, which I guess is that the name of an autobiography that you have coming
out? No, with No Room for Rockstars, I produced that film. Paris Patton directed it. With Bones Brigade, an autobiography, it's a film that I made that recently premiered at the Sundance Film Festival this past January.
Aren't you fancy?
Well, no, but it's a film that Tony Hawk and this group of guys of a team that I formed called the Bones Brigade in the very early 80s. After I finished Dogtown, Tony and the guys asked me if I would make the Bones Brigade film, because mm-hmm. they felt that they had a legacy that was equally as important as the Dogtown legacy. And I wasn't comfortable making the film at the time, because I didn't want to play the dual role of filmmaker and also subject in the film. But they kept at me, and Tony and the guys called 2 years ago, and they said, look, we are now older than you and Tony Alva were when you made Dogtown. Would you please consider doing this? And I finally just threw caution to the wind and said, okay, I'll do it. We made the film. We got it done last fall. I submitted it to Sundance, and they called me and said, man, we really want your film. We love it.
Fantastic.
We showed it out there. We had 5 standing ovations out of 6 screenings.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really pretty amazing.
What's wrong with that 6th theater?
No, but what's nice about the film is it's got a really emotional tone to it, and women were coming up to us after these screenings in tears, saying that this may be a skateboarding film, but it's really a chick flick.
How much?
What? Not expecting that.
What?
Not at all, no.
Not expecting that.
It was weird that you put Reese Witherspoon in it, though. I was really surprised. I didn't expect that at all.
Well, she invented the Ollie. So, you know, we had to cover Reese.
Hard to deny that.
Yeah.
Were you lucky that that was a passion of kids back then, that they videotaped themselves all the time, so there was a lot of footage that still existed you could use to tell the story?
It actually wasn't. This is prior to the consumer home video. This was me shooting these guys back then on 16 and Super 8. It wasn't skateboarders filming themselves. It was people like myself out there filming my own team. So we probably have 50 hours of footage documenting all of the 80s.
Wow.
And this is the progression of Tony Hawk and guys like Rodney Mullen and Steve Caballero, who were the architects of that time, and all the maneuvers that they invented, the Ollie, the 540, the McTwist, whatnot, all documented on camera.
Wow. How about that?
And they had to beg you for years to get you to make that.
They did. And I'm glad, I'm really glad I did. I'm really glad I made the film. It may be one of my best films. So
when will we be able to see that at some
point? It looks like it's going to probably be released at the end of this year, end of summer, early fall. That's what we're thinking about. We're right now looking, you go to Sundance, you meet all the film buyers, they say, we want to buy your film, and we're currently in that kind of negotiation position.
Okay.
We're in a good spot.
Do you ever think you'll move on, or do you have any interest in moving on to something other than documentaries?
I have an interest, but I don't know if I have an interest in playing that Hollywood game.
Like Titanic 2?
There's not a lot of story left to tell there, but
that's true.
No, here's the deal. It's like, I come in here, I see you guys' world, you guys get to do what you want to do.
Right.
I make these documentary films, I think them up, I get to make them, they get done, they're on a shelf in a year, I'm proud of that. If I play the Hollywood game, it's meeting after meeting after meeting, and that just isn't the life I want to live. And it takes me away from skateboarding, and it takes me away from surfing.
Most importantly.
Would I like to do it? Yes, but I'm not sure I'm willing to give up what I have to give up.
Well, what a body of work. I mean, there's got to be a Stacey Peralta box set coming out, because Dogtown and Z-Boys, Riding Giants, Pipeline Masters, Crips and Bloods, Bones Brigade, and No Room for Rockstars.
No Room for Rockstars is the one, though, right now. It's a film I'm so proud of, and I'm really proud that I didn't direct it, that I produced it. And I'm a huge fan of the director, Paris Patton.
Yeah, he does a great job. Check it out. NoRoomForRockstars.com is the website. You can find the theater near you, and also find if you're unable to make it tomorrow night. There are also lots of other ways, like iTunes and whatnot, that you can get the movie starting soon. So that's definitely something you want to check out. Stacey, always great to catch up with you, man. Thanks a lot for coming.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
You don't know, man.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Wednesday Kevin Amin Show. What's going on?
I do know, man. You don't know, man.
Donald Trump. What an ass hat.
Oh, come on. Trump's just speaking the truth, and you can't handle it.
Nobody asked me, but let me tell you what I think about everything.
He has an excellent point.
You don't know, man.
That
you don't know,
Sasha Baron Cohen should have been beaten in the face.
Right.
For his comedy sketch.
That was his take.
play the audio. We got a little time. Play the little piece of audio. Yeah, yeah. Play the audio of Donald Trump talking about what should have been done to Sasha Baron Cohen playing the dictator on the red carpet when he spilt faux ashes, on Ryan Seacrest.
This third-rate character named Sasha Baron Cohen thought he was being cute and funny when he threw ashes at Ryan Seacrest. Now, I know Ryan Seacrest. He's a great guy. And you could see he was visibly upset. It was disgraceful. And the security guard that was standing to the right, he ought to be fired immediately. That guy had nothing. He is not capable. He allowed this guy to get away with so much. Believe me, if that ever happened to somebody with real security, Sasha Baron Cohen would not be in good shape right now. He'd be in a hospital.
That's right.
Shut up.
He'd be in the hospital where he belongs.
You bag of hot air.
For his comedy. Comedy should be punished by violence.
In the hospital.
That's the rule of thumb. That's how we live in America. Play a joke, take a beating. That's my campaign. It's my campaign platform. I hope you all vote for me in November.
I got an email from a cop that was there and said that they were told something was going to happen and to just let it happen.
Really? Awesome.
Yes.
He doesn't know, man.
Yeah.
He should go to security school.
Donald Trump is allergic to comedy. God forbid anything funny should happen on his watch, right?
What a douchebag. All right, sad news, House fans. You know, not only is the series ending this season, but it's now official that Lisa Edelstein, who played hospital administrator Dr. Lisa Cuddy on the show for many seasons, will not be returning for the finale.
That's disappointing because that was a plot line over the last, you know, three seasons or something that would have been nice to see them kind of, you know, wrap it up a little bit.
Well, there's plenty of closure after House drove a car through her front window.
There was that.
Mm-hmm. She pretty much had an ass full of him, and they went their separate ways. So that pretty much was the end of that relationship. But a lot of fans wanted to see her make a final appearance. There is a group of House fans apparently called Huddies.
Yeah.
Because they love the House and Cuddy relationship, so they call themselves the Huddies.
Uh-huh.
They were yearning to see the two of their favorite characters back together at least for one more moment before the show's finale on May the 21st, but apparently the Huddies will be disappointed.
Oh, that's very disappointing for the Huddies.
Yes. The Hobbies, which is a group of... The Hobbies are a group of fans who are desperate to see House and Bobby back together.
Bobby!
From the House TV drama.
I didn't know that group existed.
Apparently the Hobbies will also be disappointed because looks like the actor who plays Bobby also unavailable to be on the series finale.
Unavailable?
So, yeah.
What kind of career does that guy have going on?
He's very busy. Very, very busy. So
I want 13 to be back on with another lesbian relationship. That's how I want to see the series.
Where it is, 13 will be returning. I don't think she will have any lesbian sex, though. I don't want to see her. I'm scared to see her because she's got the... Parkinson's or...
Huntington's.
Huntington's, yeah.
Something that's bad. Yeah.
Something that's bad. And I'm afraid if they bring her back, they will explore that aspect of her character, and I don't want to see her sick.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda is not returning either. Glenda will not be back for the final episodes, so we will not be able to tie up Glenda's storyline.
What are those people called that love the Glenda line?
The Glouse fans. They like Glenda and House together.
Glouse.
Clive Davis.
Guilty.
He's not charged with anything. Being a Daily Mail in London says he is already has a Whitney Houston life story movie in the works. And he's talking to several actresses about the possibility of playing Whitney up on the big screen. Rihanna, Jennifer Hudson, Vivica Fox, Jordan Sparks, Brandy Norwood have all been discussed, as well as Gabourey Sidibe.
No,
you don't think she could pull off?
I don't believe so.
Look, she can play Black Hitler. She can play Whitney Houston. That's all I'm saying. Those of you who haven't seen the movie Jimmy Kimmel did on his Oscar special.
That was very funny.
You're doing yourself no favors by not seeing that because it's hilarious. And stories continue to cover the internet this morning about the possibility of Snooki of the Jersey Shore being pregnant.
Nope.
According to many sources, she is roughly 3 months along with her first child from boyfriend Gianni.
First of all, I don't know what that is. And second of all, no freaking way.
Could have been worse. Could have been the situations, kids. So at least half the genetic code might be salvageable.
No way.
The reason she has been denying it publicly when asked about this is because, again, according to sources, Snooki has been brokering her story around to the various tabloids, and apparently Us Weekly magazine has offered her the most money, so they will be breaking the news on the cover of their magazine sometime soon.
No.
MTV is said to be in crisis mode because they have a spinoff show with Snooki and J-Well that they've just begun shooting in New Jersey, and she, of course, will not be able to fight or F or drink.
She does need to do all three of those to make a good show.
Yeah.
And they are desperately trying to find, in the words of one source, a new creative direction for the show.
Ah.
I'm a whore, hello?
So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
So are we, help me understand, are we praying for a miscarriage now? Is that what we want?
Oh, stop it. Never. We want her to have a baby, but to go away.
Okay.
We're going to go to Baby Island.
Give the baby away to somebody who can raise
it. Go to Baby Island, have the baby, give it away, and then go away.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And while we're speaking of going away, Celine Dion has had to cancel more concerts because of a virus that's inflaming her vocal cords. I want to thank the boys down in the lab. We've been working on this for some time. The Dion 2.0, we call it, and we released it in Vegas, and apparently it's working. Doctors have advised her to let her voice rest for 6 to 8 weeks, so she won't be returning to the stage at Caesar's Palace in Vegas, where she has that ongoing show until early June. So
that's her.
I think Lisa caught the Celine Dion virus this
week.
She
got that earlier.
She sounds much better, though.
And it's a shame, because we were trying to give it to Beer Mug.
I know. And sadly, everyone who's enjoying playing Joust and Beaver, the latest app for your phone, a very fun game about the little beaver in a purple sweater with bangs who floats down a log on a river trying to hit foot hogs. Their pigs are taking his picture and sign autographs. People who enjoy that game may be in trouble.
Now what?
Apparently Justin Bieber's people have sent a cease and desist letter to the makers of Joust and Beaver, asking him to stop jousting.
Nope.
Joust and Beaver, however, is suing them.
All right.
Saying they have a right to distribute the game because it's a parody of Justin's commercial success and it's protected by the First Amendment. So I will keep you updated on the Joustin Beaver story as further details develop.
Can't wait.
Today's celebrity birthday is Mark Foster of Foster the People is 28 years old. Antonio Zapato Jr. celebrates his 40th birthday. Motivational speaker Tony Robbins is 52. Kevin, you mentioned your wife had done Tony's course with Tony.
Mm-hmm.
What is that all about? What do you get out of that?
I don't know. It was a long time ago, and it was just a motivation. Hey, you can do everything. Think positively.
Make you feel good about yourself and make you think you can conquer the world.
That's it.
I'm always curious what he has to offer.
It's all just positive reinforcement.
Yes, you can.
Yes, exactly.
I got you.
But this running on the hot coals, though. I mean, your feet are pretty strong, but they only touch the hot coals for a few seconds, right?
Yeah.
Couldn't you do that without the Tony Robbins course? I mean, can't anybody do that?
Let's find out. Beer mug?
Yep, let's try it.
You to get some charcoal?
Let's try it.
I want you to build me a little trough here for tomorrow, and we'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens.
I mean, look, we've all walked onto sidewalks that have just been super, super, super heated by the sun, and it really, really hurts, but you can survive it for a few seconds to get to the other side, or a driveway or something
but
like that.
But don't you think hot coals are even hotter than a hot sidewalk?
I would guess so.
Yeah.
I don't get, I mean...
We could take calls, I'll bet we could take calls all day from people who've walked on hot coals at one of these seminars.
How much of a difference does it make what mental training you've done in order to be able to, because your foot doesn't know whether you've done mental training or not. If it's hot enough to burn your skin, it's hot enough to burn your skin whether you want it to or not,
or
right?
Do you have the power to alter how your skin behaves because of the power of your mind?
You can float over them.
Can you steel yourself up so much that it actually changes the makeup of your body using the power of your mind?
Your feet are actually coals.
Can that happen?
I would say no.
It happens.
Listen, you don't know, man.
I'm just saying,
if I were to touch a hot coal even for a second, I think I would blister.
That's correct.
And yet these people walk across these coals and do not blister.
Well, maybe tomorrow we can get a little help from our listeners who have done this or know more about it.
Foot scientist who can give us the actual inside information.
That'd be great.
Any feet scientists out there, please feel free to call
I don't think that's what they're called.
They're called footologists, and they have answers.
All right.
You don't know, man.
You don't know, man. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We are going to tell you about a new sport that I think you're going to love.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimate Taser Ball.
UTB!
What? There's a league in everything. We have comedian Joe Rogan
Go
in the studio.
Kilowatts.
We have Adam Carolla on the program.
Yeah.
We have you broke up and got together with the same person the most amount of times.
Yeah.
Again and again and again. You kept getting back together with him. Why? And we have tickets for April Foolishness.